Don't mess with the best, man, because the best don't mess.
It's time to talk.
Your thoughts.
I do genuinely think it does that with the parents.
For me, he was the bridge between myself and my untapped potential.
Flattery will get you nowhere in here.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
I couldn't even answer her because, you know what, she wasn't wrong.
The voice of Cork.
Be part of the conversation, the Neil Prendeville Show with Elevate Credit Union. Text 0868 104 106. Let's get straight down to it because time is precious when you get to talk with a senior politician. I'm joined by the Taoiseach, Simon Harris. Simon, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to Cork. I know you're on Lee's side today. With time ticking, I'm going to just jump right in because I'm just wondering, you know, with regards to the state of the nation at the moment, are you aware of how frustrated and angry the public feels? How let down they feel by you, by the Taoiseach, by all politicians representing them? When it comes to cost of living crisis, house prices, rent, energy arrears, food poverty, 17,000 people in emergency accommodation. Are you in tune with all of that?
I am indeed, and I'm working every day on every single one of those issues. But I'm also aware that there's other statistics alongside that as well, that there's more people working in our country than ever before, that wages are going up, that educational standards are increasing, that class sizes are going down, and indeed that we now, for the very first time in a long time, are seeing wage growth outstripping price growth. So for the first time in a long number of years, we're beginning to see some progress being made in terms of people's household incomes. But there's a lot of work to do, and in politics there's always a lot of work to do. And in elections, people decide who they think are the best people to advance those challenges.
I mean, that might be all very well on paper, but the reality of it is that cost of groceries have rocketed. Absolutely. There's a report out this morning, and this is for people who are going out trying to work in the morning, saying that one in seven is in arrears with their electricity. And much of that is on your watch because you withdrew, cruelly, the energy credits.
No, so there's a couple of different parts to that. I mean, firstly, what's not on our watch is the fact that we've lived through the greatest inflationary crisis in the European Union since the 1970s. And that had a real effect on all countries, including Ireland. We put in a number of measures to help people through that crisis, a number of one-off payments and the likes. We also said at the time of the last election, as inflation was falling, we had to move to more targeted payments. So instead of giving you an energy credit or me an energy credit, we expanded the fuel allowance. 460,000 people now benefiting from fuel allowance, more people than ever before. And I do take the point.
No, but the energy credit would have helped everybody. It wouldn't have been selective.
Correct. That's the point. But I don't mean to be rude about you, but should I get an energy credit or should you get an energy credit?
Well, it was actually about the optics and about how people would feel. I mean, like, for instance,
you have to target the support sometimes, O'Neill, as well, because we have to make sure that the measures we take are sustainable. This idea of giving everybody an energy credit forevermore wasn't sustainable.
So was it a mistake to give them in the past then?
No, because we gave it at a time when inflation was double digits. Inflation is now falling. Inflation is going to fall again this year. And as I've said, we're now back, thankfully, at a position where wages are growing ahead of prices for the first time in a long time.
Listen, people go out to work in the morning, and if they're lucky enough to earn a decent enough income, they pay 41% tax on it. On top of that, they pay an 8% universal social credit. You're aware of the draconian taxation rates in this country, surely?
I am aware of the tax. I think people pay the higher rate of tax at too low a level. And since my party came to government, we've increased the amount that you can earn before you pay the higher rate. And I want to be very clear in taking up the role as finance minister that I've taken up in the last few months. I want to get back into a rhythm now of proper income tax packages for middle income earners. I do accept fully that there's a group of people who work their backside off and still feel at the end of the week that work hasn't paid enough. And the other issue I want to do is make sure their savings can work for them, because while you rightly say that there are cost of living challenges, and I don't deny that, we do have one of the best saving rates in the European Union, but that money is earning diddly squat for people in banks. We have to look at how we can use the tax system now to start making sure that savings are working for people. So that and a regular rhythm of income tax packages are going to be a priority for me.
What is a regular rhythm of income tax packages? What do you mean? Are you saying that you'd raise the ceiling for working families where they'd pay less tax on higher income?
Very fair question. So I'm not going to announce the budget today or I'll get into all sorts of trouble. But I am saying that what you've just said there is something that I think is a very effective way. We have, over the last number of years, on several occasions, raised the amount you can earn before you pay the higher rate of tax. I think it was about €35,000 not that long ago. It's now up to €44,000. And I do want to continue to increase that. So I think that is because that basically means if you work harder, if you earn if you bob extra, if you get a promotion, if you do a bit of overtime, you know, you shouldn't be giving the government a higher rate of
Well, why
money.
Don't you just do that? I mean, you know, when a budget comes along, you can put up the price of fuel and fags and drink, but why does it take so long?
Well, in fairness, we've over the last number of years, except the last budget. And in the last budget, we made a conscious decision, similar to what we did in 2020, that there were a couple of other tax measures that were really important. Reduced the VAT rate on everybody's energy bill for the next number of years. We're reducing the VAT rate for the hospitality sector from July, because that's supporting hundreds of thousands of people in work right across Cork and right across Ireland. And we also took the decision to reduce the cost on building apartments to get housing supply going. But what I'm saying to your listeners, who I know are frustrated, I really do know that, Neil, I hear that. What I'm saying to them is that that's a once-off rhythm of a budget. We're back now to a situation of keeping the economy running well and trying to help the squeeze middle, people who are working their backside off, keep a little bit more of their own money.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the latest developments with regards to something that kicks in next week, which is, as Sinn Féin would say, feathering the nests of developers and landlords and investment firms and vulture firms from overseas. You see, the company yesterday said that overnight they will see their profits on something like 3,000 rental properties in Ireland jump by 25%.
But they didn't say that, and I had to correct Sinn Féin and the Dáil on this yesterday. They said over 10 years that was a projection, and they went on national radio yesterday to ask Mary Lou McDonald to stop misrepresenting the
They
document.
Told their shareholders that were boom times ahead, though, words to that effect. All then, of course, on the watch of your government, where people, and the average price of a three-bedroom semi-D in Cork now is north of 400,000. The average price of a rental property in Cork now is actually every single rental property in Cork now is over 2,000 a month.
And let me just be really clear what we've done with this new rent bill. We brought in for the very first time an effective no-fault eviction ban. We brought in for the very first time a six-year tenancy. And not one person in a current rental agreement will see any change to their rental situation.
They will see it. They'll see their rent go up 2% a year. And then after 6 years, God knows what happened when the landlords are out to reset to market rent.
But Neil, you've never been able to talk to a politician before on this programme who's brought in a law that provides a six-year tenancy. It's never been done before. It's provided 6 years of certainty for renters that simply didn't happen before. And yes, housing is too expensive in this country, but we are now seeing almost 100 homes a day being constructed. We exceeded everybody's expectation and forecast last year in terms of number of homes being built. And we are now seeing around 600 first-time buyers every single week. There is a housing emergency in Ireland. Of that, there is no doubt. But this idea of the left and the Shinners and everybody else just thinking that you can drive out private investment. The state isn't the only person in the country or the only entity in the country that should be building houses. We need private investment as well. It can't just be taxpayers' money building local authority homes. They're important, they're needed. But we also need private investors building private homes for people to buy and rent. That's absolutely essential if we're to get people into their own homes.
Yeah, but a second now. Average people or average couples or individuals or families are bidding anyway against the government to hoover up properties. They're also bidding against these international massive corporations that are coming in, also hoovering up properties and driving prices north and driving our young people as a consequence out of the country, feeling let down, angry and bewildered and off in Australia. I mean, that's all on your watch.
I think it's important we don't in general statements speak for every single person in the country. There's lots of people in this country that see the progress that is being made. There's lots of people in this country that went out and voted for Fine Gael in the last election and Fianna Fáil and voted to put us in government because they recognise that the policies we're pursuing are the right policies for
but
the country.
What policies? Yes, I mean, whose idea was it to cut SNA's Absolutely.
I'm just saying people did vote. People did vote for our policy. So not everybody.
But that doesn't mean that they should put up and shut up. I mean, what's this
business?
How in the name of God could anybody come up with an idea to cut SNA assistant places in schools for the vulnerable and the most needy children? That's beyond cruel.
Well, that was completely botched and it was immediately paused and it was not proceeded with.
Whose decision was it?
I've been very clear. The book stops with us. If you're a parent of a child with special needs listening to this radio program today, the last thing you want to hear is me saying it was this officer, that officer, this official, that official. The book stops with us. When things go well, we take the credit. When things go wrong, we have to put our hands up. We got this badly wrong. And what we're going to do here, I'm the son of an SNA. I'm the brother of somebody who wouldn't have got through school without an SNA. What we're going to do here is get this system right. The rules that govern who gets an SNA were last written in 2014. They need to be updated because the care needs and the complexity of children in our school has dramatically changed since then. There's going to be more SNAs in Irish schools in September than ever before.
Sorry, the Examiner reports this morning that this crisis is far from over. The Examiner says there won't be enough school places to meet the substantial increases come September. Incidentally, where did you find the 19 million in additional funding that was needed to leave things alone?
Out of the 118 billion in voted expenditure, which includes a 1 billion euro contingency fund.
So you took it out of a rainy day fund or something, is it?
We set aside a billion euro out of 118 billion in public expenditure, and that's to allow for situations that arise during the year. And this is one such situation.
Okay, you wouldn't find that for average Irish people in fuel poverty or food poverty or the derisory tenor you'd give to senior citizens ever, no?
I don't accept that at all. I mean, we've increased the state pension, as you know, and we're increasing it each and every year, and we're increasing it above the rate of inflation. We've also increased the fuel allowance, and I've addressed to you what we're doing in relation to fuel poverty. Instead of giving it to people who don't need an energy credit, we're targeting it to those most in need.
Yeah, but if a pensioner is on 290 a week, say, for instance, if they're lucky, do you know how much a bag of coal is, say, a 40 kg bag of coal?
It can vary significantly, but I'm taking the point that you make in terms of needing to do more. Not off the top of my head.
Okay, well, if we said about 30, you should know these kind of things, they're important. About 32 euros, so an average pensioner could, in a very cold winter, go through two bags a week. That's like 65 euro. They're inside in their homes, putting on extra layers of clothing and going to bed early. They can't turn the heating on.
But Neil, you've made the point in relation to the cost of a bag of coal. I'd make the point that the fuel allowance that we're providing is now 38 euro a week. And we're providing that to 460,000 people right across the country to help those people. We've made decisions to increase support carers, support people with disabilities. We've increased every single social welfare payment to older people, people with a disability and carers. We're increasing the income disregard so more and more carers will qualify as well. So I reject out of hand any assertion that the government isn't prioritising those most in need. We absolutely are, day in and day out. And many people are benefiting from that. For example, only last week in Limerick, I announced a significant expansion to the Meals on Wheels system. Again, helping people, helping older people, helping people in their homes too. So we take decisions every day to try and help people. Government doesn't get everything right.
No, far from it. Because now I hear...
We do get some things right too, Neil.
Well, it depends as to for whom you are speaking. I mean, the latest statistic on the amount of money you've spent on asylum seeker state spending is 1.2 billion for last year on top of 500 million to Ukraine. Is that acceptable? Those kind of numbers? I think you recently said that our immigration and asylum system is broken, isn't working, we need to fix it.
I did, and I said the numbers are too high. And I got absolutely piled on by everybody who tried to shut down the debate when I made what I thought was an honest point reflecting the views of people across the country. Migration's a good thing. There's many people in Cork and across Ireland who've come to our country, made it their home and are making a positive contribution to our economy and our society. I thank them for that. But we cannot ignore the fact, and I would refuse to be shouted down by people when I make the point that we do have a situation where at a time when there is pressure around housing supply and public services, we have to have a firmer approach in relation to migration. That if you don't have a right to be here and you've been through the system and you've lost an appeal, you do need to be deported. And I do support the measures being taken by the Minister for Justice in relation to that, because Irish people are very decent. They're very compassionate. They know the benefit of migration. They see it in the health service and lots of other places. But they also want to know that rules are applied.
But if you spent 1.2 billion last year, right? Yes. And over 80% of those that come here have their applications rejected. Can you see the anger and the frustration of the public then, where that money could have been spent an awful lot better? Or do you, are you just as frustrated about that?
I can see a frustration from people across the country, particularly when they see the likes of state facilities or hotels or the likes being used. And they're saying, hang on a second, I'm compassionate, I'm a decent person, but I don't want to lose the local hotel in the town. I do think, in fairness, and it is important to be fair, the number of people that we saw coming to our country significantly increased, and the government did have to respond in kind of an emergency manner. We need to now move from that emergency system to a much more planned system. If you have a right to be here, thank you for coming. You should be welcomed. You should be supported. You should be integrated. If you don't have a right to be here, you should be asked to leave. And if you don't leave, we need to make sure you leave. That's the sort of system people want to see. And that's not about, that's actually about making sure the centre holds in Irish politics, because if you leave a vacuum, it actually gets filled by extremes. So I feel quite strongly on this. We have to listen to people. We have to try and respond. But we also have to recognise that people who come to our country legally make a very fine contribution.
No, that's not what's at issue here. It's the processing, of those that 80% of which are rejected, and the cost to the taxpayer on that basis.
That's why we have to get more. And that's why I think it's really important that we process in a much more efficient manner. And in fairness to the work being done by the Minister for Justice, we are seeing processing time significantly improve, because you can't have a situation where, I agree with you, that someone who may not have a right to be here has been left in limbo for a long time, but also the costs are ticking up alongside that. So a much more efficient process.
So would that be something you'll handle when you're Taoiseach in the not too distant future? Because Micheál Martin wouldn't be of a like mind to you on that, would he?
Well, I think the Taoiseach and I are of a like mind on this. We're working very well in government together, and the Minister for Justice is leading for us on this. And it is. I've been very clear when I was Taoiseach. I said very clearly that the situation outside Mount Street and tents and the likes couldn't be allowed to continue. I dealt with that. And as a figure in the government now, I continue to make my views clear that we need to have a fair but firm migration system, recognising the benefits of migration, but also recognising the rules have to be applied. And I'll continue to be making that an area of policy focus.
OK, will you be around Cork today? I mean, will you be walking the streets? Will you visit the city centre? You'll see an awful lot of empty buildings. You'll see a lot of small businesses who close on a daily basis. They just can't keep it going. Many of them have been intergenerational for hundreds of years. Restaurants, pubs, clothes shops, all being unfortunately either left vacant or replaced by vape shops or Turkish barbers, astronomical rent and rates. Or will you be, as Sherry Blair said recently about Tony Blair, after his 10 years as Prime Minister and 10 years in politics, he was completely detached from reality?
Well, I certainly hope that's not me. I can assure you my family wouldn't allow me ever find myself in that situation. I'll tell you what I'm doing today. I'm meeting the Port of Cork. I'm visiting a credit union. I'm having a meeting about the National Maritime College in Cork. I'm meeting the Cork Business Association. I'm sitting down with the chief executive of Cork City Council. I'm visiting a housing development, and I'm meeting my party councillors and Oireachtas members as well in Cork. I want to have a conversation with Cork City Council specifically about a task force to regenerate, rejuvenate the city centre.
They hate that word, task force. They just say it's negative.
Well, they can call it whatever they want, but what I want to do is help. I want to help try and make sure that we can have a look at how we can take action in relation to some of the issues that you outlined, particularly in my role as finance minister, how we can help develop spaces over shops, how we can use the Living City Initiative to make that more attractive. We had I appreciate I'm going to say the word again, but we had a task force in Dublin that did, I think, provide a really good roadmap for regeneration of the city. And I think the real capital might like one as well and could benefit from it too.
I know that my time is very precious at this point in time, but I want to bring up the issue of Bessborough. You are probably aware that over the period since the 1920s, 923 children died at Bessborough. They can only account for 64 burial records. Now private developers are being allowed, it's proposed, to build apartments on a very, very, very significant part of it, where many of the survivors and many of the parents and mothers and fathers of children born there are very upset that this should happen. Do you think this should be paused?
Being very honest, and I hope I'm not going to get in trouble for saying this, because I know this has gone through the planning process in terms of there could well be further appeals, but I feel deeply uneasy about this, is my personal view. I'm conscious this is a week in which we had a state apology for some of the horrific stains on our nation's past. I'm really conscious of the sensitivities here. Children died in the Mother and Baby Institution in Bessborough. It's beyond tragic. There was a commission of investigation. I know they looked at all the issues here. They looked at burial practices. I know they tried to establish where the Bessborough children were buried. There was a whole load of assessments carried out. Your listeners.
No, that's the history now, Simon, in fairness. But I'm just asking you, like the Times this morning is saying that there would seem to be indications, things like coffin timber and nails have been found on the site. Surely be to God, this has to stop.
Yes, yeah, so give me a second, and I'm not rushing off your program here, so just give me a second here, because the history matters. The point I'm making is the history matters, and I don't think the history can be ignored here in any planning application. I know there's a number of conditions attached, many, many conditions. I know there has to be forensic archaeological monitoring, but there's families here who are hurting. There is a history here that is painful. There's a trauma here. And I really, really, really think, and I'm conscious there will be further appeals here, and people have made that
clear. No, but
you're
doing it again. I've asked you a straight question. Do you think it should be paused?
I can't answer that question. If you want to ask me, do I think this site should be developed for housing? I don't.
Oh, that's an answer then. So that means it shouldn't happen.
I'm trying to answer your question, but I can't pause this because it goes through the planning process. And what I'm saying is, and I'm not going to get anybody into difficulty here, because there's been a group of people who've said very clearly they intend to appeal this matter. I'm saying I'm deeply, deeply concerned about development on this site that would cause further pain or trauma for people who have already been through significant pain and trauma.
Okay, well, if that's the case, and if you're that committed to it and that emotional about it, then why can't we just compulsorily purchase it from the developers? Just and make a park and a remembrance to those babies.
Yeah, so a couple of issues. I mean, there is a need for a memorialization at this site. And I'd be very happy for government to engage with the families here, absolutely. But I'm also conscious on the specific planning application and the law around that there has been planning granted. There will now, in all likelihood, be an appeal. We do have to allow that independent planning process run its course too.
But is it down to the survivors then and their families to do this legal process, not the state or the government?
So I think there's a couple of different points here. My understanding is that people have said they intend to appeal the planning issue. So that's either underway or going to be underway. Alongside that, the government should be engaging and will engage with the families, with the groups in relation to memorialisation as well. And I think we should allow those two processes unfold.
Okay, just finally, I know you're also announcing this morning a new savings scheme. Is it like Charlie McCreevy's one back in the day, is it? The SSIA?
Not quite, but what we need to do is make sure there's 170 billion euro on deposit in Ireland. It's sitting in banks and credit unions earning diddly squash in terms of interest. We need to make sure that we use our tax system, that if you're setting aside a few bob for your kids, for your future, for yourself, and I'm not talking about the uber wealthy, they can look after themselves. I'm talking about the squeezed middle, that those accounts can work for them. And next month we'll have a forum, bring together everybody in advance of the budget to see how we can get people's savings in Ireland working for them for once and for all.
Why? Why do you want to do that? Are you looking for that's kind of a bit of window dressing, is it, in times of negativity towards the government?
No, it's a really positive step we can take, Neil, to help the squeezed middle. If you have a bank account today, and by the way, despite the cost of living crisis, lots of people are saving in Ireland. The figures show that. But your savings are being eaten away by inflation, by dirt or anything else.
Yeah, so you could just abolish dirt, couldn't you?
You could, but I'm not sure it's the most effective way. I think a much more effective way would be to make sure that middle income people aren't locked out of investment accounts in Ireland, and that we'd allow people have a certain amount tax free in their bank accounts for that purpose.
And what rate, what interest rate would you give them?
So I'm going to announce all of this is for budget day. But
what would it be? 4%, 5%, 6%?
You're good at your job, but I'm not announcing that today. But what I am telling you is this. What they've done in Sweden is allowed you to put about 27 grand in tax free. They've done in the UK about 20 grand tax free. There's a way of using the tax system here to make it work for people, but the detail of this is for budget time.
Okay, well, what I can tell you is that Charlie McCreevy, I think he was Fianna Fáil at the time, he would say if you put in 20 grand and left it there for 5 years, the government would give you an extra 5 and you'd withdraw 25. Surely that would make sense, yeah? Same thing, it worked really well.
I think it caused a lot of inflation and everybody's matured at the same time. I think a better way to do it might be actually to allow people the return that people make on their savings. Not be taxed, but let me work through the detail of that, and I'm happy to come back on when we have the scheme ready to
announce. Oh, so you're just flying a kite now, but you're not really going into the nitty gritty.
I'm doing my job. So my job here is to announce to the people of Ireland and the people of Cork this morning that we intend to change the savings and investment structure and the tax system around it.
Yeah.
To tell them that we want to talk to them in the month of March and the month of April, and to tell them that we intend to bring about changes in the budget.
Why don't you just abolish the universal social charge? That's the sneakiest, cruelest thing you ever brought in. Just get rid of it.
Because for all of the reasons that you outlined at the start of this program, where you outlined all the need to help people who are carers, people with a disability, older people, run our public services, we can't blow a hole in the public finances here.
What are you talking about? It's the 1.2 billion last year in asylum seeker spending, for 80% of them to be rejected, has to be looked after first before a hard-working squeeze mizzle get the universal social charge abolished. That doesn't seem fair.
I think it wouldn't be fair, but it's not true. If you look at the facts, if you look at what we're spending on health and what we're spending on education every year, if you look at what we're spending on building homes, if you look at what we're spending on guardian numbers, special needs assistance, all of that is funded from our tax base. What I want to do is make
all of
sure...
All of those are in chaos, incidentally, including the HSC, which should be working 24/7, actually.
Well, in fairness now to the HSE and in fairness to people in Cork, you come visit a hospital with me, there's people working 24/7.
Well, I went to visit Cork, a hospital University with you, hospital, all I would University smell hospital. All I would smell is fresh paint.
Touché, Neil, but I've been in many hospitals on unannounced visits. People work extraordinarily hard in our hospitals on a 24/7 basis. There's lots of challenges in this country. I don't accept your premise, though, that there's not lots of good things that happen in our public services every single day of the week. And I'm very proud of that, proud of the people who carry out that work, too.
Okay, appreciate you taking the call this morning. Much obliged to you, Simon Harris.
Lovely to chat to you. Thank you so much.
On Lee's side this morning. And among other things, your thoughts are welcome on that. Text 0868104106. I have to say, I'm not blowing smoke anywhere, but at least I had an opportunity to talk to the Taoiseach. Maybe that might mean that it augurs well for perhaps at some stage in the future, perhaps a conversation on air with the Taoiseach. You'd never know.
Get on to Prendeville now.
0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
All right, your thoughts are welcome on my conversation with Simon Harris. Text 0868 104 106. Just a fast look at some of the other stories making the papers. I won't dwell much on this. A lovely photograph from the front of the Examiner and the Echo today, thanks be to God, of Shandon has been revealed again. The entire steeple has been revealed again in all its beauty. And to all those that worked on it, they did a crack job. I mean, 100%. It looks absolutely fabulous. And there's an awful lot of work that you won't see that was going on. An awful lot of detail work went, but it looks great. And everything sorted. The final few beams of scaffolding have been removed. And I don't think any of us actually wanted to tell the correct time on the four faces of Shandon. We're quite happy with it being the four-faced liar. And of course, then I did mention with Simon Harris the his issue in Besborough that has everybody upset about the children that died there and the potential of apartment blocks built upon the area where the potential burial site actually could well be. So that makes the Mirror this morning, and the fact that I was on air yesterday morning talking with Carmel Cantwell from the Besborough Mother and Baby Home Support Group, saying that they will appeal and they'll continue to appeal. It's interesting that Simon Harris had his own opinion and he's not happy with it, and he doesn't think it should go ahead if he was to be asked personally. As to what the state could do, well, let's see what happens next. But the Irish Times this morning talks about particular areas of it. Was it? And in fact, they were saying, is it too much to ask that this 60 acres be preserved as a park of remembrance for the 923 babies that died, the 31 women who died, and the 19,000 women and children who went through Besborough? And that's, of course, a very valid thing to say. And it's Carmel Cantwell is saying that. I spoke to her on the air yesterday morning. Papers then talk about the fact that if this goes ahead and construction starts and human remains are found during the excavation, say for foundations, all work will cease immediately at that part of the development, and on Garda Síochána would be notified. I also mentioned to Simon Harris that they're not out of the woods yet with regards to the SNA crisis, because the Examiner says this morning, okay, that's fine, pausing. And they make these decisions, there's chaos, because they're botched, stupid decisions, and then they reverse out of them. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be any better as it is right now. If things stand still now with SNAs, come September, because lists and everything in Ireland get longer, we'll be back having the same conversations again. And you look at the cruelty of it all, how vast quantities of money can be found for some things, and yet other things then, of course, are just left alone as if the market will decide. Energy providers continue to make huge, colossal profits, but yet you have over 320,000 domestic electricity customers who are in arrears on their electricity bills. And then, of course, the Irish Times talks about the 25% profit hike that the major vulture funds and international investment companies are making regarding buying properties in Ireland and renting them out. Everything changes in the middle of next week when this six-year thing kicks in. And we all know it with regards to the Ring Road or the N40. And most of the time, sometimes it can be weather conditions and what have you, but most of the time it's driver error. The Examiner this morning says that every inch of the Ring Road has been the site of a crash. Every single inch of it. Isn't that an astonishing comment to make? Even on Wednesday now, you had a multi-vehicle crash just outside Douglas. And what's very interesting is it causes these. Some of these are fender benders. And it's fair to say, and I think he's right in this regard, where Gerry Buttermer is saying, we need to have Gardaí and Traffic Corps on the road all of the time so they can react faster, because nobody's allowed to move vehicles after a crash unless on Garda Síochána get to the scene and allow it to happen. So we need that to happen. Removing the cars and the vehicles from an accident quickly so you can free up traffic for everybody else. And then, of course, one of the big issues with regards to immigration in this country is the amount of people who are coming in here under the guise of attending language schools, but not attending the language schools. And, of course, that means that it's a way of getting in through a kind of a back door into the country by coming from overseas, getting a learning English as a language visas, but actually not attending classes. So that's a front and inside pager making the mail today. So something needs to change there. I mean, if you come in as an international student, you're allowed to work 20 hours a week, but a lot are doing an awful lot more than that, and hardly ever some of them attending the English classes. So maybe that is also a loophole that needs to be sorted out, or a hole or a gap that needs to be plugged. And then, no matter what way you look at it, our wealth is just off the charts. 1.3 billion euro is what the people of Ireland actually possess in personal riches. But it's very interesting because the vast majority of it, like over 50% of the 1.3 billion, is actually owned by the 10% richest people in the country. Anyway, that's just a quick look at what's going on paper-wise this morning. But can I just mention an interesting one that I saw on the inside pages of the Star and the Mirror today? I wonder what your thoughts on this would be. Pets will soon be allowed on buses. Now, at the moment, we do know that guide dogs and assistance dogs are already permitted on all buses. But how would you feel if there was a load of dogs on the bus as you were going from A to B, and they were jumping up and down on seats, and they got on the bus wet from the rain and they were stinking the place up? I mean, for me anyway, rarely enough as I use a bus, but that's got nothing to do with this conversation. If I was a regular bus user, I probably would be a bit annoyed about it. I'd be saying, no, I'm not into this. Barking, growling, smelly dogs on the bus. Whoever thought this was a good idea needs to change their mind and reverse the policy ASAP. But your thoughts, text 0868 104 106.
Listen to the Neil Prendeville Show wherever you go. Download the Go Loud app, the new home of Red FM.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Get involved, text 0868 104 106. Finbar, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm good. Your thoughts there on my chat with Simon Harris?
Yeah, just listening to like, and you quizzed them fairly well there now, sufficiently, right? But, like, these, Simon Harris, they're professionals at not answering questions. They know how to not answer questions. If I may, Neil, I just wrote down a couple of pointers, right? At the moment in Cork and around the country, right, we have insufficient bed capacity. Question one, right? Severe overcrowding in emergency departments, long waiting times. Number three, department overcrowding. This is a beauty. Number four, lack of universal primary care. Ireland remains the only Western European country without universal access to GP services. Staffing problems. The list goes on and on and on. You mentioned elderly people there a while ago and the cost of coal and people over 66 on pensions, Neil, right? That's a good point, right?
So, you think that the tonnage should know the price of a bag of coal?
I don't think he does. I don't very much.
Well, he said he didn't, but do you think that that's kind of a bit out of touch with reality? If you don't know the price
absolutely.
Of a bag of coal or a loaf of bread or a bottle of milk.
You're asking me a question that is very explanatory, right? And if you cannot, in the world we're living in today, cannot stay in touch with what the price of things are in this country, there is something seriously wrong in our country. The price of coal is in around 20 euros a bag.
Now, they're small bags. You would get nothing out of them.
Small bags.
I'm talking about a 40
bags.
kg that you might get around about, like, say, 40 hours of fire out of, you know?
You're up in 60 and 70 and 80 euros, throwing the kindling and the briquettes and so forth. Small conversation, O'Neill, but that for a pension. The pension over 66 is coming somewhere around the 300 euro mark.
Yeah.
So take 100 euros out of that straight away, Neil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then, then you have your gas, your electricity, you're trying to put food on the table, so on and so forth, for an elderly couple. That is not sustainable.
But politicians are trained in how to answer questions and how to spin them and deflect. That's something they said. We saw that with all of that.
I'm here in Glenmire with Billy Keller, and I know exactly how he's trained. I know the man inside out. I know him all my life.
Well, you saw last year with regards to, say, Ivan Yates, who's a professional at training people, both private and public, and he has actually coached politicians right up to and had sit-downs with the likes of Micheál Martin with regards to training. So that's
you quizzed him correctly, and you've done your homework as well as I've done here, right? But like as we're both repeating, they know how to answer, when to answer and when not to answer. And if you're listening, like I do to your radio station quite regularly, as an elderly person, I mean I'm a 52 year old man. I'm working. I'm fine. I have three small kids, and my wife is working, so we're.
But you're not fine. You're paying an 8% universal social charge that was supposed to be temporary. You're paying 41% tax on a big portion of what you earn. Straight away, after you earn 44 grand, 50% of the rest of it is taken from you.
Correct. And
How are you happy with that?
Well, I'm happy to the point of view that I'm working, so I'm some bit sustainable, and my wife is working. We have two good jobs. So I'm speaking more importantly about the elderly people, because I have a mother-in-law, I have a father-in-law, brother-in-law, and they're elderly. They're in their 80s, and like you know, it's not that they're struggling or anything like that. But like if you're living on 300 euros a week, if you sit down, go home today after work and sit down, and you're 66 years of age plus, and you have 300, you get your pension down the post office, so on and so forth, and you have 300 euros up in the counter. And you're saying, all right, we have to work this out.
Oh, listen, you could have gone to an Aldi, or you could have gone to an Aldi or a Lidl 12 months ago, or maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, and you get two full bags for 50 euro. Now you'd be lucky to get the same two full bags for 80 euro.
That's correct. That's all changing as well. I just think the whole thing is wrong.
Okay.
It's just completely wrong. Like emergency departments, overcrowding, insufficient bed capacity. Where does it end, Neil?
Okay.
You know what I mean? From a health perspective. Like the country is in a mess. If you take a walk or a taxi or a drive up to COH as we speak, A&E is overlapped with people. A lot of them should be there, and a lot of them should not be there. They're small things. They're drug related. They're drink related. So on and so forth. They have no business there.
Okay.
Like, it's just the whole system. The whole health system, Neil, needs a drastic overhaul. That's just my point.
Maybe the whole country does. Thanks, Finbar. Appreciate that, Bob. Good morning.
Morning, Neil.
Your thoughts?
Long time no speak.
Yeah, good to catch up.
Well, I look at what's going to happen in Dublin tomorrow morning, or tomorrow with all of the people going up to protest.
On disability supports, yeah.
On disabilities, yeah. And, you know, the government had so many opportunities to do something to help. Now, I suffer from COPD. But luckily, I'm not in a position where I'm struggling financially. But there are an awful lot of people that I connect with through my business that are suffering severely.
Yeah.
And it is wrong. But, you know, I also look at, like, you know, they talk about housing. And you were talking about the rents. Well, one of the reasons that the rents in this country are so high is that the government have so many people on HAP payments. Now, they're needed at the moment, but the government needs to transition off HAP, build houses, move these people off HAP into state-owned housing that they pay an affordable rent on, and that will bring down the cost of rent. Because
HAP is artificially increasing and inflating the cost of rent, of course. Because
when you have somebody on getting 1,500 or 1,600 euros a month of a HAP payment, that's insanity. And it's money down the drain. If they spent a quarter of that money on building houses,
You're talking about a state agency house building program.
I'm talking about going back to the old system where the councils built houses at scale. Whether they use private contractors, whether they use direct labour.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It used to be that way. And when you don't do that and you farm it out to the private sector, The market will dictate the price, but the market is dictated by profit for those
yep.
that are providing
and that's
the housing.
Why would a builder build enough houses to decrease the cost of a house?
They wouldn't. No, I mean, you know this capitalism term that the markets will dictate. Well, they are dictating yep. because when you have a shortage of anything, the prices go up. But listen, I don't know. This is just the best you can do with a conversation that's limited to 20 minutes long. Yeah. There's not much else I can do except try and cover as much ground as possible. But they will always push back about how things are optimistic and things are looking good and we'll get better and things are on the up and we've plans to do loads of things. But we've heard all of that for decades, really.
We have. Look, can I just give you one example of this government?
Just the one, if you don't mind, because I'm going to plough ahead, but just so use your time wisely.
Okay, I'm involved in the tourism industry. And over 60% of all bookings in tourism come in through these online booking platforms. This year, they're talking about 9 billion of an income in Ireland. And even if you drop the figure to 20% commission, right, you're looking at about 1 billion disappearing that never shows up in Ireland. Right, no tax paid in it, no nothing. It just disappears out of the Irish economy, never seen.
To booking agents, is it?
to online booking platforms.
There's nothing you can do about that.
Well, I think they can. Europe is looking at it, and Ireland should be looking at it. You know, it's something that even if there was tax paid in that 1 billion, at a fair rate of 20 or 25%.
Okay. Okay.
It's 250 million more into this country.
Oh, and every little helps. Okay. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks. Take care. Text 0868 104 106. Pick up the phone on 0818 104 106. We've got some voice notes as well, which are backing up. Here's one of them.
Hi, guys. Just wondering, would Neil ask that Simon Harris how he feels about all the 30-year-olds that are living in their box bedrooms with their parents, even though they have fabulous jobs and they're housing for others and no housing for our own? And rejuvenating of the city, he's probably just doing up over the shops so that other immigrants can have them. Sorry, I'm not a racist. I don't care what colour your skin is, but this country is becoming a joke.
Text 0868 104 106. Barry, Rose, Donna, Christine, many others standing by. Lots of calls after 10.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversation, the Neil Prendeville Show with Elevate Credit Union. We got calls on the way, but first up, it being Friday, we got a lot of different things happening this morning, and amongst them is Free Food Friday, courtesy of ourselves in Grandin's Mace and Zambrero in Sallybrook. And actually, I was lucky enough to sample some of the wonderful food coming out of their deli and coming out of the newly refurbed Grandin's Mace and Zambrero last week. Really, really good sandwiches, I have to say. They don't hold back in the fillings, which is great. Gorgeous fresh bread. So we've got a huge selection for you. Their quiche is fantastic. And then we've got all the rolls and the wraps and the sandwiches with all the different fillings. Lots of pastries, Danish pastries, apple tarts and apple turnovers. Loads of food for you. So if you eat 15 or more of you this lunchtime, big selection of food from Grandin's Mace and Zambrero. They got the Zambrero counter for food's sake, delicatessen. They got the acai bowls, the ice cream and the bravato coffee. It's all laid out. Modern convenience shop that's just been refurbed. So we need to know who you are and where you're working to 0868 104 106. Text who you are and where you're working to 0868 104 106. And we'll start the first bunch of shout outs for Free Food Friday in about a half an hour's time. Meanwhile, it's day five then, our fifth and final opportunity for you to qualify to get into the final for a €1,500 voucher for Living Dreams down in Little Island Commercial Park. So that 1500 can be spent on anything you want in the home. It could be bedding, it could be mattresses, it could be sofas, it could be corner units, it could be dining room furniture, it could be items for the kitchen. Whatever. They got all the brands, Irish and international. So again, three pieces of audio, all sleep related. One is a film, another's a song, and the third is an actor or an actress who slept with their on-screen partner. All right? Simple as that. So here's the first of three. You can't do nothing till I give you all of them. So the first sleep related audio clip for you is a film.
I can't live without you, and I won't let you live without me. This is our last chance.
Ooh, that sounds a bit on the scary side, doesn't it? So you've got to identify the film. I'll give you the second piece of audio in about 40 minutes' time. Off and running, back to the calls. Very busy Friday. Jim, good morning.
Hey, how are you, boy?
Good. Do you want to just pick up on some aspects of my conversation with Simon Harris? Go ahead.
I suppose that's the main aspect there. He thinks everybody's wages is going up. You know, that's a great comment on a Friday when everyone can check their wage today and they know it hasn't. That's just too much tax.
Yeah.
Way too much tax. And I suppose, look, in reality, we have no representation because the unions have their feet in under the table since 1985 with the government to stop strikes and all that. So this is why you're only getting your wages and your increases is 2% a year. It's terrible. You'd be as well off not having any representation rather than having union representation, unless you're a civil servant. And it works beautiful for that section of our community, teachers and anyone that works in government. They have no problems. But anybody else, like ourselves...
I wouldn't say that now. You could have a teacher married to a guard now, or a teacher in a relationship with a guard and they couldn't afford a house, in fairness.
Yeah, but they'd be a new teacher and a new guard. Like they've kind of messed around with their wages as well. But that's not forever. They have some opportunity going up. Once you're a civil servant, you can go in and get a loan. Most people are trying to get a loan for a home, and they'll give it to them.
Okay, so here's what they should be doing, right? They should have a state agency building houses like they did in the 50s and the 60s, and then they should have a state bank offering. I didn't have enough time to do everything I wanted to do because he's got a load of media commitments. I understand that. So a state agency to build properties and homes, right? Let the private sector do whatever they're doing. Fine, not a bother. But get on with building yourself. And then also have a state bank offering cheap loans, cheap mortgages at low interest rates. They'll still make a profit on them, but they'll help Irish people.
So why can't they make them interest-free? It's government money. It's our taxes going in.
Better again.
In fairness to the Muslim community, they feed out money to their members.
Okay, there's something about that interests me. Is that kind of like a Sharia loan?
I don't know if it's a law. I think it's just what they do. I think they can borrow from the Middle East and all that, but if they want to buy something, it's interest-free, you know, and they look after their own people. You've got to hand it to them. And this is a system working within our system. You know,
so here in Ireland, can somebody who's Muslim, under what I heard is some sort of a Sharia mortgage loan, they can buy an Irish property with a loan that's funded to them from their home country?
Of course they can. If you come into the country and you can say that the money is clean, you can do what you want with it.
No, but is there an initiative, say, for instance, in Arab countries for people who are Muslim who are living here, to get a mortgage loan, interest-free, from the state that they've come from?
Well, is it the state, but is it the religious crowd? I don't know who gives it.
Okay, neither do I. But again, but that kind of complicates things even more, to be honest. Is it a halal mortgage?
Yeah, I'm not knocking it. I think well done to that community.
No, but there's no laws being broken here. It's Sharia-compliant mortgages. I'm very vague on this topic, but that puts even more pressure then it'll drive property prices up more and there's less to go about. So it complicates things even further.
It's the taxes that are the Irish people are paying. You're working 2 days out of 5. 2 days are for the government and the 3 days are for you to mind your family and raise your family. Are people stupid? You need to come out on the street and tell this government to stop robbing you. Like I'm at the other end of life, I don't need money as such, all right? But young people, you want to come out and bloody let them know you're here. And when it comes to election, you're a duck and you won't vote. They love it. You put the same fools back in.
Like really, this 41% tax rate or 42 really should not kick in until somebody earns 80, 90, 100 grand. To be like, because the spending power of 80, 90, 100 grand is much weaker now and more watered down than a decade ago. This 44 grand ceiling on before 41% kicks in, it's no longer fit for purpose.
The young people have nothing. They can't even afford to have children. This political genocide that they've done to this bloody nation, this cohort children, is horrific. 1.3 children. Sweet Jesus, some people can't even afford a child. They're going around with dogs and handbags. That's the government. This government are doing that. Young girls are afraid to get pregnant. They put contraceptions everywhere and told them it's for your freedom. Stay in that bloody factory, no girl. They've killed family life. They've killed Ireland. Our politicians have done this. We have a population heading to 5.5 million. We have an Irish population heading, going south below 3 million. Are we stupid? Can we not see what's happening?
Well, I think what people listening right now would be able to experience and share is that they possibly have a son or a daughter who's maybe 28 or 30 or 32, who's either back home again in the box room or they're gone to Australia.
Yeah.
So they will feel failed.
I encourage them all to go to Australia and the blessings of God. But we need to make sure that they leave this country with a proper toolkit, that they have proper education, good trades. We don't want nobody going out picking berries.
All right. Okay.
You know,
all
if
right.
they're going to go, we got to mind them.
Thanks, Jim. Text 0868104106. A lot of text on this. All he can speak about is everything positive. Can he tell you anything that they have done as a government that has failed at all, I wonder? Well, he held his hands up on the SNAs. He says the buck stops with him and Michal, I suppose. Samuel will want to check again. They weren't voted back in, as he said. They never made a majority. That's why Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael decided to join up with a few independents and form the government. You need to stop hectoring him. You need to stop badgering Simon Harris. Too aggressive. Harris is a plague on this country, but the interview is too shouty. Stick with the clear, calm questioning. Grill him hard, but do not hector. Well, thank you for that. What a joke. A maritime college in Cork, and they've given away our fishing resources to the Europeans. There's loads here, actually. The rich are getting richer, and the poor just get poorer. This is your legacy, Simon Harris. Elderly people in this country have forgotten. There are people over 80 years of age who have no medical cards. The migrants are given a medical card and a PPS number on entry. Now, that really bothers me, actually, the fact that they means test elderly people for a medical card. I think that is beyond cruel and unfair. And you are right, then, if you arrive in the country and look for Spanish status under an asylum or refugee, you're presented with a PPS number and the much coveted and sought after medical card. He's speaking bull. They're crippling pub owners like me. Also, my mortgage went up €800 a month last year due to the central bank interest rates. Ask him, when are they going to sort this problem out? Don't forget the scandals of immigration and the zero controls on our borders. Neil did that one. Listening to Simon Harris, is he insane or what? Does he want this to fail? Does he want everything to fail altogether? It's a joke. As a mom of a son who has ADHD, how dare he try to cut SNAs in schools? Does he not understand how important SNAs are to our schools and our children? They know nothing about our country, what we're going through, and how hard it is for us to live, to work and survive in a country that we love. They seem more concerned about foreigners coming into this country than their own. You can hand out money to all of them, but does nothing for our own people. It is beyond a joke. Keep them coming. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. There's a lot going on this morning. Barry.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Are you referencing this proposal where dogs and cats and all sorts of different pets will be allowed on buses?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a leftist policy, a form of leftist policy making. You know, they make policy without any real thought to it. I mean, you could see that when you were questioning Simon Harris. His record is absolutely appalling in this country. Don't forget, there was a young 9-year-old boy who died, whose parents pleaded with him for the bones of a year. And in the week of his death, despite promising to go and help the young boy, he attended the Oasis concert, posted up some selfies of himself on the week of his death, and no apology.
That was Harvey. That was the little lad Harvey, yeah, who had spina bifida, yeah, passed away. Harvey Morrison.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Simon Harris was at the table since the beginning of the non-existent children's hospital in Dublin, which is now costing twice the Burj Khalifa, almost $3 billion for the taxpayer. Like, this guy is just a
still not
politician.
Open, incidentally. Well, some of it is, but it's not 100% open just yet.
It's tell it to the world. It's the most expensive building in the world. I mean, if they looked at it, they just laugh at the Irish people. Because this is what they put in power. No matter what you say, you know, left and right on the opposition bench and then the Dáil itself as in the government, they're all guided by their Bible, which is a leftist globalist ideology. For anyone who's stuck under a rock and
I'm not so sure it would be altogether of the left for somebody like Simon Harris to say that our asylum system, our refugee system and our border controls are not fit for purpose. I can get the exact words. I mean, that's not something that you would hear from somebody on the left, really, you know? They would be more likely to be saying that we should welcome everybody who needs to come here for whatever reason, if they're fleeing different issues in their own homeland. But you see, a lot of the time, it's not true.
That's the rhetoric. The latter of what you just mentioned was the rhetoric that was used since they took power, when the baton of power was handed by Enda Kenny to Leo Varadkar, and then now we have Simon Harris. They have been saying this thing and doing this thing without even talking about it. Now the rhetoric has only changed off the back of the shambolic presidential election campaign, when all of the spoiled votes came back with the messages from the people.
I know about that. Actually, the words that he used with regards to Ireland's immigration and asylum system is, it's not working, it needs to be firmer, the numbers are too high.
Well, that's probably part of that is to do, this rhetoric has only changed after that presidential election campaign, where the people were blocked from selecting perhaps Maria Steen, who would be a right-wing thinker, a mother of four or five children, well-educated, and is an unapologetic right-wing Catholic. And that's what the leftists are terrified of, ultimately, because they speak common sense and they have principles that they'll stand by.
No, I know that. We don't actually have anybody of the left, the right, as such.
Not right.
Yeah,
none.
We don't. There used to be.
There would have been a driving force, albeit without power, but with influence, if we had Maria Steen there. And, you know, that's a given. And she was blocked from selection by the people, well, by the government, to be put before the people, as we know already. So, like, the sentiment is already there. It came back through the spoiled votes, and the truth is there. So they know what's happening. And then when you have Donald Trump, who's one of our biggest allies, if anything went really wrong in the world, he's gone right wing and having none of us, and he's doing a good job of it in the US, despite all the leftist rhetoric that does come out of the US.
Okay.
You can see that the facts speak for themselves. So, Simon Harris, he's just another failed politician. That leftist ideology is running havoc in the UK at the moment, with the Green Party, who have pharma companies handing out PlayStation vouchers to young children to take part in puberty blocking trials. That's happening in the UK at the moment.
Okay, that's into a completely different new ground.
Yeah. It's a fact. That's a fact.
I think that probably reform will eat the Conservatives and the Labour Party's lunch if there was a general election.
Rupert Lowe as well coming up. Yeah, but Rupert Lowe, I think Nigel Farage is tiptoeing between the two pools, and he doesn't know where he stands really. Right. Like, he just wants to get the pair. Okay. Anyway, look, that's across the water.
Covered a lot of ground. Thank you for that. Text 0868104106. I was reading your initial text, which actually was a fear of you getting on the bus and a Staffordshire Bull Terrier getting on next to you and rampaging through the lower decks. No?
Yeah, I just, you know, when you listen to that kind of policy making, it just comes without any thought of consequence. You know, the reality is, I know and I understand you've got guide dogs and all.
They're proposed. The proposal is that small dogs would have to be put into little cages, and the big doggies would have to be kept on a lead and have a muzzle, and they should only be allowed on if there were no danger to any passengers. I mean, like,
okay, yeah, it's the rhetoric is great, isn't it? It comes without consequence or a thought of consequence, because in reality, like, a dog is supposed to be muzzled on the street and subject to a fine if they. Could you imagine
how difficult a bus driver's job is already without having to deal with, you know, I mean, quite sure there'll be a lot of people who'll be very well behaved and well mannered, but there'll be others who are mutts themselves getting on the buses with mutts. So it'll be mutts with mutts who will just cause havoc and be looking for trouble.
Yeah, and you can imagine a group of children sitting there with their parents, and then somebody gets on with, like, one of these more dangerous dogs, dangerous breeds, like a staff pit bull or whatever.
Yeah.
And it runs havoc. Who's liable then? What happens then? Carnage. You see, the reason I make the point of this kind of leftist kind of policy making come from a leftist ideology, which comes with a consequence or thought of consequence. You saw this through the Green Party in Ireland with the e-scooters, and look at the carnage that had on society since it's
implemented. On e-scooters and cycle lanes.
There you go.
I thought that was pause for all right. Okay, thanks, Barry. Text 0868104106. And I mean, it's not a far stretch for people to suggest that this business of, oh, there's going to be a, you know, we have loads of money and we're really great savers in Ireland. We love to save money, but we're getting diddly squat from the banks. You're not making anything in interest from the banks. In fact, a lot of the time they're charging you to mind your money. So we, the government now, have come up with a really nice plan. This is nothing short of window dressing, I think. He denied it, but I believe it is, just to kind of detract from the real things that are going on. We've come up with a new scheme now where you can you know, get a much better bang for your buck on your savings. It won't be anything like the SSIA, if you're old enough to remember. If you put away into an SSIA at the time, which was a savings incentive scheme, you put 10 grand into it, after 5 years, the government would give you 2.5 grand on top of it. If you put 20 in, the government would give you 5 grand, and so on and so forth. So, and it was tax-free. It's not going to be anything like that, but it's kind of like the SSIA light, if you like. Anyway, we'll see exactly what they come up with. Annie, what a terrible idea. Dogs scrapping on the bus with other dogs. Dogs peeing on the bus. Dogs pooing on the bus. It's the worst suggestion I have ever heard. Well, there it is in black and white. Pets may soon be allowed to accompany passengers on public transport under a new proposal. This is for bus, rail, Lewis and Dart services. Of course, we don't have any issues because we don't have any rapid rail yet, and I wouldn't suggest any time soon. Back after the break.
Get on to Prendeville now.
0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Morning all. The 10 euro increase this government gave in the budget was of no use to the elderly or those with disabilities. Food prices up, electricity up, everything going up by the week. But this corrupt government have no issues with giving themselves a nice rise every year, which they get instantly. We have to wait 6 months for anything we receive. The paltry crumbs from the table, says Mary Jane. Rinse and repeat from Simon Harris. Could be any decade talking to you on that interview. They all use the same bull and I'm sick of the lot of them. I may not be of the same politics as Simon Harris, but he had the balls to go on radio, not like our local Taoiseach, Mr. Do-Nothing Micheál Martin, says Joe. Well, they're Joe's words, not mine. That was a war, not an ambush, says James. Not quite sure what that means, to be honest with you. I don't know whether that's a compliment or a criticism. What does Simon have to say about an on board Planola overruling Cork Council's decision to reject planning permission for a 400-acre solar farm? Sorry, there's a lot that I can't get to. I mean, you're literally talking 20 minutes to do the best you can with. Lots more like that. I'll come back to text in a few minutes then. But WhatsApp. Rose, good morning. No.
Good morning. How are you?
Where are we at here? We're at the proposal of allowing dogs and cats, for that matter, on public buses or trains or what have you. Your thoughts?
Well, I tell you, before I go onto the buses, I'll tell you what happened to me in Douglas Court last week.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there on the bench and this beautiful husky dog passed and stopped in front of me and decided to do a poo.
Oh, God.
Right in front of me. And your man,
that would be my day. That would be my day ruined.
Exactly. And your man with him stood there. He had no bag, and he just stood there looking around, waiting for somebody to come and help him.
Okay, what do you mean? Who's he want to come and help him? Like a poo patrol?
Exactly.
Is it?
Yeah, or a cleaner or something. Yeah.
And that's a rookie error, actually, going out with the dog on a lead and not having poo bags. I've been in that nightmare once or twice. Oh, that's dreadful. And what happened? What happened ultimately? Who cleaned it up?
Well, this woman came over and she gave him a shopping bag and he cleaned it up with that and walked away as if nothing happened.
Do you apologise or anything? Say anything?
No, small. Didn't even look in my direction.
Okay. So you could be on the number two and a dog does a number two.
Exactly. And then the bus will have to go to service to be cleaned.
Why do you think they're proposing this? Never mind that if two dogs get into an argy-bargy, you're going to have a... It's not going to
exactly.
It's not going to be a park and ride. It will be a bark and ride.
And everybody will be trying to get off. So that's somebody going to be bitten, you know what I mean? Or a child in a buggy, that's sitting there eating something. The dog comes and grabs it off them. There's nothing you can do about it. You know what I mean? It's dangerous, like.
Oh, my God. I even forgot about that. You got a child in a buggy or something with a lollipop or an ice cream or a bit of chocolate or whatever, or a biscuit. The dog snaps.
Yeah. Strapped into it. They can't go anywhere.
I don't know. Are you against dogs walking through and being allowed into big shopping centres and shopping malls?
Well, I don't mind if they're going to look after them. I mean, coming in with nothing, and leaving them do what they want. So that can't be safe anywhere. Like, I mean, imagine a child falling on that door or anything. It's a disgrace, like.
But it's, I know it's allowed in Douglas Village Shopping Centre. Are dogs also allowed in Douglas Court?
They are, I'm afraid.
Bishopstown,
well, last week, anyway.
Ballyvillan, the posh duns on Patrick Street. All that's cool, is it?
I don't know about them, no, but I know about the two Douglases anyway, and they're allowed into both of them.
Okay, so what is the deal? Are you just allowed to walk through the shopping centres with your dog on a lead, or are you allowed to do your shopping with the dog on the lead?
That's a good question. I don't know, actually. I presume they can. If okay. they can walk in around there, you know, I suppose they can.
Okay, undoubtedly someone will enlighten me. Thanks for that, Rose. Appreciate it. Hi, Neil. Buses are filthy enough without having cats and dogs pooping all over the place. Well, that's the proposal now. At this stage, they're welcoming, the NTA are behind this. They're welcoming submissions and feedback from the public. And apparently they're meeting mixed feedback so far. I don't know. Maybe it's impossible to say in the world we live in now as to how people would bounce on this one. I would think that it would well be rejected if it was down to members of the public, but you can never tell anymore. Anyway, keep those texts coming. Just coming back to you on your topic about people who can't afford to pay their ESB bills. These are the ones being punished even more because they can't change suppliers. They're unable to move to another supplier if they haven't paid a previous bill. So if you're in arrears, you're stuck, which means you're going to be charged even more. If you could change suppliers, you might get a discount, you know, for the first year or what have you. I think it's true that everybody should be looking at changing their energy suppliers every time your 12-month contract is up. You just need to keep on moving around. Morning, Neil. I believe it's because Besborough Gardens goes onto the dual carriageway, which was built over the grounds, that there's always been accidents on that road because it's been over the babies' graves. I'm not going to say anything about that. If it is your belief, I respect your belief. You know, you're talking about the dual carriageway, as in the N40, the South Ring Road. I'm on a pension. I applied for a few social welfare services and every one of them was turned down. I paid €30,000 tax on my private pension. I pay €1,800 a month rent, electricity and petrol. I'm trying to make my budget work. It's getting harder and harder. So there you are on a pension and you apply for a few social welfare services and every single one of them is turned down, probably on the basis that you worked hard all of your life and you managed to put a few bob away for your retirement and for your old age. And they're looking at it and saying, oh, no help for you. You're doing fine on your own, pal. Whereas actually you should be treated the very same as everybody else, even if you have savings. When you come to retirement age, they should not be selective about anything. The harder you work, the more you saved, the more they should be congratulating you for being an upright, mobile citizen, doing your best over the course of your career. But I don't know. It's bad enough that dogs are allowed in the Marina Market. I absolutely hate it, says Trevor. Oh, you'll see a fair all amount of scraps down in the Marina Market with dogs having a go or a snap at each other. I don't mean to generalise, but I've seen a few incidents down there where they do kick off. They allow dogs on public transport all over the UK. There are no issues whatsoever. Well, that's good to know. Happy to hear that. Keep them coming. Text 0868104106. Quick call ahead of the ad break. Sheila, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. You can take your dog into Douglas Court and into the Douglas Village, but you can't bring them into the shop. The only shop you can take them into is the pet shop in the village.
Yeah, I know. The one in the front village, there's a pet shop there. That's and my fella can find it with his eyes closed.
Well, our fella can too, I can assure you. So, but I will say I don't agree with them being on public transport, right, because of the wean and the poos. But I do believe that if somebody is dying, a dog should be left in to see the owner. Because then I feel that the dog won't feel that the owner left him. Because, you know, dogs are very sensitive.
Oh, that's a lovely point you made. Are you talking about in a hospital setting or a nursing home
in
or
a
residential care?
Setting, I'm sure they could put the patient into a private room while the dog would, like, you know, just visit them or something and leave them lie on the bed with the patient when the patient's at the end of life, really.
Oh, that's lovely. And do you know, has that ever been allowed? Has that ever happened?
No, but I have an experience. My dog saved my life. Neil, I never had a dog. I detested a dog because I was so house proud.
Okay.
And that's the honest truth.
Okay.
My grandson died just over 2 years ago.
Oh, so sorry to hear that.
Due to suicide.
That's very sad.
Myself and my husband weren't getting out of bed. we were heartbroken. It's very hard to bury a child. But, you know, and you know the reason you should be saying, I know now I'm gone off here, but, you know, you keep saying, could we have done something with this? So my son and daughter-in-law bought me a little Shih Tzu pup. He was a pup at the time. And I just took to him straight away. I don't know, like, he knew I was upset, and he's come over and sit in my lap and lick me and the whole lot. Take me, walk me into bed by night. And one Saturday night, came back from the grave Saturday evening, went up to bed, and I never woke up. And only for Milo, he kept barking at my husband, and he was in the barker. And Thomas was asleep, and he was telling him, go down, go down. And when Thomas did wake up, he ran over to the side of the bed, and Milo was over there, and I wasn't breathing.
Wow. The dog.
Even when, So
your dog instinctively knew.
He saved my life. He knew there was something wrong. I wasn't breathing or anything.
And what happened next?
My husband was trying to breathe. He actually rang whoever he did ring. I mean, this is what he just tells me. I was totally out of it. And they told him how to do CPR on me, and he was doing it until the ambulance men came and whatever, and they took over, and they couldn't revive me either. To be truthful, they didn't think I'd survive. But I did. I did, because I know my grandson didn't want me following so quick.
What, was it a heart attack in your sleep or what?
They said, well, I have heart complaint, but it seems I got a seizure.
Okay. Your heart stopped?
Yes. My heart flooded. You know, my lungs flooded and it flooded my heart.
So if there was no dog there and no Milo
I'd be dead. So he was brought into my life for a reason, Neil.
Absolutely, he was brought into your
and life. And I wouldn't. He's gone there now. He's gone to the spa there now for his wash and his cut and whatever else.
No wonder he's spoiled.
He rules the house. And you know what? I don't care. My house is only a roof over my head now. It changed my life completely.
Oh, man, that is an incredible story. I got to tell you. And if it wasn't for Milo, we wouldn't be talking now. And your husband would have woke up possibly next morning.
He wouldn't have woke up. Yeah, he wouldn't have woke up, you know, until later.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd snore away, not knowing, and I wouldn't be here today to tell the story.
All for Milo. Yeah, so I instinctively, they've got him. They really are in tuned. There's an amazing bond between dogs and humans.
There's days now I could get down, you know, if I heard the song on the radio now, you know, Forever Young, that's Keith, you sing that. And if I heard that now, I'd be in tears, or other things, I'd be in tears. He's over and he won't move.
He just knows. Simple as that.
They
just know.
That dogs are better than humans.
Oh, I'm delighted he's in your life.
For somebody now who never liked a dog.
That's all changed now. You wouldn't be without him. Thanks, Sheila. Thanks so much.
No. Thanks very much, Neil. Thanks a million.
Thank you. I wish you the best. You too. Have a lovely weekend. Back after the break. Text 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
You're part of the conversation. Conversation
that matters.
0868 104 106. All right. It's day five of our qualification opportunity for you to get into the final later on this morning for a €1,500 voucher for Living Dreams. They specialize in bedding, sofas, dining room furniture, soft furniture, beds, mattresses, you name it, for any room in the house. They'll get you sorted. They've just extended their showrooms and everything. Lots of free parking. So every day this week, you have three pieces of audio that are sleep related. One is a film, the other is a song, and the other is an actor or an actress who slept with their on-screen partner. I know. So I already played you the first one, which is the film, right? This was the film.
I can't live without you, and I won't let you live without me. This is our last chance.
They're going away and have a glass of water. The second one now is the song, all right? This is a song, What Do Be Sleep Related. Mad about that one. I'm mad about it.
I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something.
Oh, what a couple they were. I'm not talking about, this is not sleep related in the sense of this person and the other guy, her musical partner or anything, but what a talent. So that is the sleep-related song. So to come now in the next 30 or 35 minutes will be the third one, actor or actress. You need to identify all three audio pieces. Pick up the phone. Caller 9 gets into the final. A €1,500 voucher for Living Dreams in Little Island. So stand by for the third piece of audio. I'm still thinking about that conversation with regards to how instinctive and how in tune dogs can be. I'm going to throw it out there that, you know, cats and budgies and hamsters and all sorts of things, they would not be anywhere near the instinctive ability of a dog to pick up on how you're feeling, or even on your health or health issues that you mightn't even be aware of. It's absolutely incredible. So keep those coming. Text 0868 104 106. You can always send a voice note by WhatsApp. Same text line, but on WhatsApp, 0868 104 106. Voice notes, I said. Here's another one.
Yeah, you increased my pension by 12 euros, but my rent went up by 15 euros every week. And that's not even counting the food. Crazy.
Yeah, there you go. That 10 seconds says it all. Simple maths when you do it. You give with the left hand and you take away more with the right. Keep them coming. Text 0868104106. Talking about giving money, right? Donna, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm good. You were having work done in the garden, is it, for which you took out a fairly hefty loan of 10 grand, was it?
Yeah, about 3 or 4 years ago now it happened.
Okay, went to the credit union and they're very good. They sorted you out. Did you get different quotes and things or what?
At the time, everyone was booked out. I had a few people down and their quotes were kind of, they were more expensive and stuff like that. So,
what was the nearest quote? What was the nearest quote to the 10 grand quote?
Could have been about 15.
All right. And, you know, the 10 grand, were they a reputable company? Did you check the references, look at other work?
Yeah. Being promoted all over social media by influencers and always live on Facebook, doing up people's gardens and stuff like that. So I knew they were doing the work.
Yeah, you must have been disappointed with the result, though.
Oh, it's like 4 years later now and the kids still can't grow out the back.
Why? Is it? Was it originally one of those back gardens that you described as being like a bog?
Yeah. It was really bad. Like if it rained, like trapped. The kids wouldn't be able to go out there for about 2 or 3 days after or okay. They'd be destroyed.
Okay, so they made all of the promises, came along, started the work kind of thing, is it?
So they came down first and they had a look at the garden and we agreed on a price and...
What were they going to do?
They were supposed to put porcelain tiles from the back wall up to the door and then they were supposed to put artificial grass where the kids' swings and slides were.
Sounds ideal.
We have three kids, like they're 7, 6 and the baby is 1.5. So,
okay. So did they got on with it, did they?
Yeah. Well, there was delays and starting, and they didn't take all the money together. So they came down and they priced it and stuff, and they took a deposit, which I thought was normal enough. Now we never got that kind of work done before, and it was our first time doing something this big to the house.
What was the deposit?
It was 5,000.
50% up front. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But at this stage now, you're seeing all of the videos and all of the.
Oh yeah,
the good reviews.
I was looking at them on social media for a long time before even. Kind of went to them. And as I said, they were being promoted by loads of different people on social media and stuff like that.
All right, so they got on with they started with the work anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there was delays and starting, and then when they finally did come down, there was two or three lads that just dug up the whole back garden and dug up all the grass and stuff. And then I was waiting probably another 3 or 4 weeks for someone to come down to actually start tiling. And now it was three Polish lads, and they were so nice and they were really good. And they came the first 2 days, they were doing the tiling and stuff like that.
But they had to concrete it or something, and they had to kind of put membranes on it. So did they do all that for weeds and stuff?
I don't think they did all that, being honest, no.
But they put down concrete?
Yeah, I think they did.
Like they didn't just put tiles down on earth or anything like that?
No, they had all that dog up and stuff.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
That's my 1.5, they were screaming. So they were supposed to do all that. Now, I do think that the man that I paid the deposit to actually contracted these men out, because when they came, they hadn't a clue what was actually even being done to the garden.
That's interesting. So you could have companies that actually just take on work, but and then when they have the deal done, they go and they find the worker somewhere else.
I think so, yeah. Because like my partner had to tell him where the artificial grass was going, like what way we wanted the tiles and stuff like that. So obviously there was, like to us, it didn't look like they worked for him.
Okay, all right. So anyway, they got on with it. What happened next?
So they did about 3/4 of the garden with the tiles. So I think I still have about 4 rows of tiles to go down. Now the price... that we paid, it was supposed to include all the materials, the artificial grass and everything like that. He left me short titles and he didn't give me my artificial grass. So last year I had to purchase the artificial grass again myself because I'm not down without the back. But those lads came, they did 2 days' work and they came back on the third day and there were so many delays all the time that I actually rang my partner and I was like, they're actually inside. I was like, the garden's going to be finished. I'm like, they're actually back inside for the third day.
Yeah.
And they came in and they said, the man that I gave the deposit to and whatever, and they said, he's not after paying us, we're taking our stuff and we're leaving.
Oh my God, your heart must have sank. Here we go again, another one of these ones.
I was like, and you know what now, at the time, the man knew I was telling him, because at the time I was going through a lot, I was after having a miscarriage, and my uncle was after passing the same day and stuff, and I was like, I gave him months, I was like, I just wanted to come down and finish the back. I was like, just wait for me to sit and just clear my head. And he was all promises that he was going to come back down and everything like that. And I tried to go down the legal route.
Did you pay the balance?
He took it in chunks. So when we paid the 5,000 and then he said he was after getting on to me so the back garden was dug up and stuff. And then he said, he sent me a picture and he said, are these the tiles you wanted? And I said, no, they weren't the ones. And I sent him a picture of the tiles I wanted. And he said, oh, I'm after ordering the wrong tiles. He said, I'm going to have to waste that money to go back into my account. He said, so there's going to be a wait unless you want to forward me the money for the tiles again and we'll have them sooner.
Ah, that's dodgy.
So, like, he took the money in chunks, kind of.
So you did give the whole 10 grand?
Yeah, I think I gave about 9.5.
All right, you gave 9.5 grand. Did you say that these Polish guys that he hired in did 2 days' work?
He sent them down, so they did 2 days' work here, and they came back on the third day, and they said, he's not after paying us, we're taking our stuff and we're leaving.
Okay, and did he start to ghost you then, or what?
No, I was contacting him all the time, and then he was saying sometimes, like, I was getting really, really frustrated, because it was going on so long, and I said to him, I'm going to contact my solicitor, and he said, do get your solicitor on to me, and stuff like that, so I actually did go down that route. Of trying to either get him down to finish the back garden or to get back some of my money to get someone else to finish the job.
Yeah.
I went through my solicitor and stuff like that, but whatever she found out, she just said to me, look, Donna, you've 3 young kids in the house. She said, you don't want these people kind of down around you.
She got on to these characters like she did?
I think she was sending up letters and the letters were coming back undelivered. So then I think she hired a private investigator and whatever she said. She just said, I hate saying it, you after the money you're after spending. She said, but you have 3 young kids in the house. She said, if I were you, I'd drop it.
Okay, because this could get dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that a shocking conclusion to your
predicament? I was sickened. I never thought it'd be caught like that.
That your welfare and the safety of your family could be... But all of that stuff in that online world, it's full of fakery, like, totally full of fakery.
Oh, unbelievable.
So you've had to walk away for fear of him retaliating in some kind of a physical way or threatening you, and you're 10 grand the lighter for it.
Yeah, and still no backyard and finish for the kids, so they can't go out there.
Oh my God. So taking a small claims court case against him or pursuing him in the civil courts, your solicitor says, is too dangerous because of the repercussions against you potentially from this.
Yeah, she advised me not to. She just said, if I were you, Don, I'd drop it. She says, you've 3 young kids in the house. She said, you don't want the aggro.
This isn't even a Garda matter because it's a civil matter.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was the last thing he said to you with regards to taking all your money and not finishing the job?
Oh, just didn't. Pretended, sent him a message at one stage and he pretended that he didn't know who I was.
Cowboys. So many cowboys scamming people.
Yeah.
So have you got another quote now to finish it? And how much is the quote?
I have got another quote, but like they're charging nearly as much as I've paid already.
So to finish it could be another 10 grand for the 10 grand that he trousered.
Yeah, I had a fella down here now a few weeks ago and he was said between 6 and 7. Now there's... I think there's 4 rolls of tiles.
Okay, but did he say that it was good or bad work that was done by the Polish lads?
He just said it was okay. He said that the tiles towards the back of the garden, he said they put down the wrong route none. Right. And I know myself that the tiles towards the front of the garden, they haven't been grouted yet. Yeah, the back.
Oh, my God. Okay. It's just people have to be so aware and beware of all of the stuff that you're seeing online and social.
Oh, it's sickening. Even yesterday, my seven-year-old's like, can I go out and sing some plays? I was like, no way, it's too dangerous.
Well, listen, I'm so sorry to hear what you went through, but let it be a warning to many people of the potential to be hiring a cowboy because of what you see online. It's just never 100% of the true story. If somebody wants to get in touch with you to maybe quote or to do a reasonable job at a good price, would that be okay with you?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was because I had to leave my job the end of last year after 11 years because of my mental health.
Okay.
So my partner is kind of the one keeping things afloat here at the minute. So I was going to say if I could get like a reasonable price or someone could even like work on a pay plan. I don't know if they do that.
I don't know, but I
have all the stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, the best we can do is hope that somebody is listening that kind of says, I feel your pain and it's often and I'd love to help. And they could come up with some kind of arrangement with you. Let's see if somebody would like to do that. All right.
Thanks so much, Neil.
Okay. And if and when somebody comes to me, I'll be back on to you.
Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks for now, Donna. It would be lovely if this could happen for her, particularly as we head into the spring and the summer to get it done for all sorts of different reasons. Because you got these individuals out there, these cowboys, they don't give a damn about family life or children or people who are struggling and putting money aside to make their homes more beautiful in their garden. They're just interested in promising the earth, moon and the stars and not delivering, getting all of the money out of you as fast as they can and disappearing. Text 0868104106. Back after 11.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversation, the Neil Prendeville Show with Elevate Credit Union on a free food Friday, courtesy of ourselves and Grandin's Mace and Sambrero in Sallybrook. They have recently undergone a major refurb and they got a modern convenience with lots of destinations inside. They got the Zambrero fresh Mexican-inspired meals counter. They got the For Food's Sake Deli, superbly freshly prepared food. They got the fresh acai bowls, smooth smooch ice cream and bravado coffee. So it's a kind of a real wraparound service, if you like, with everything. So we have, and this will feed 15 of you, the most beautiful quiche and a selection of rolls, wraps and sandwiches with all sorts of glorious fillings to suit everybody's palate and a big selection of fresh pastries from their deli. So text who you are and where you're working to 0868 104 106. And we'll do a bunch of shout outs now. Same morning to everybody at Pest Attack in the Lock, Cork Arts Theatre, Breffni at Nesbitt's Catering. They would love some nice food to get them through the day. Ego Hair Studio, always listening in Ticknock and Clove. Peach Vintage Clothing to keep the sunny side up down in Middleton. Daft Trucks on the Cork Mallow Road. Some food today. Starving, we've been texting in for years. We're pure Norries with great accents. Oh, prove it. Prove it now. Send me a voice note on WhatsApp 0868104106. Irish Pioneer Works on the Kinsale Road. Colin and all the gangs at Ryan Civil Engineering. Foot Solutions on the Grand Parade, keeping our feet walking and smooth. St. Christopher's Ward at Marymount Hospital. Hospice are listening. One Racing Betting Office on the Evergreen Road. To all of the staff at the clinics, particularly Professor O'Halloran's staff and clinic out in the Pink Palace on the Wilton Road. Oh, sorry, no, this is in the clinic, Cedar Clinic building in Wilton Road, the old credit union. Morning to you all. Cove Community Hospital, Photo Wildlife Park, Barry Joyce Cold, the top of Fair Hill, Amari on the Tremor Road, Free Storm ABS in Churchfield, Horizons in Glowntong, Clush to Chris Rea listening, all of the team at Con Shop in Gronabrough. Morning, Deborah, Hurley Heath Centre in Bishopstown. Morning, Lynn, Sonnes Special School in Carrigaline, great staff. And everybody at SCI in Fromoy would love some yummy food to get us through the day, says Cormac and all of the staff. So keep those shout outs coming. Text who you are and where you're working to 0868104106. We'll do the next bunch of shout outs in about a half an hour's time. The Red Patrollers will then collect all of the scrumptious food and deliver it by lunchtime today. So get on board on that one. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. In a few minutes time, I'll catch up on texts and emails. I'm going to get back to our phone lines though. Shane, good morning.
How are you, Neil? How are you getting on?
I'm good. We were talking about fuel and food poverty earlier on this morning. I was chatting with Simon Harris, the Taoiseach. The price of a bag of coal came up, right? So I was estimating, you know, a 40 kg bag, right, would be about in and around 32 euro for a 40 kg bag. I remember the day when that would have been about 20 euro not too long ago. Go ahead.
Yeah, I suppose I'm working in the north at the moment, north of Ireland at the moment, and I suppose the week before last, I picked up they sell 25 kg bags of coal up there for £10.50. So
what?
21 pounds for 50 kilos of coal. So that's what I bring down, right, into my own house. I have an open fire. And then the diesel up here is £1.30, which is about €1.50. It's very economical, to be honest.
So a litre of diesel here could be 170, right?
Yes.
The equivalent north of the border for a litre of diesel in euro is what?
It's 150. So it's 20 cent saving a litre.
Okay. So that is pure tax in the difference there. Excise. The government is taking more and charging more.
Yeah. Right. Now, I put up a post there a couple of weeks ago when I filled up here initially. It was £85, which is roughly about 90, just over 90 euro. If I did the same fill in the south, it would have been 116 euro versus 90 euro.
You know? 26 so euro more to fill it south of the border.
Yes.
Isn't that just depressing?
Yes. It's ridiculous how the government cannot see that.
Okay. You know? So a 25 kg bag of coal was £10. Right? So what would that be? Maybe 11, 12 euro?
Yeah, that's roughly about that, what that is, yeah.
And the 50 kilo bag was what?
You get two 25 kilo bags, so it's 21 euro or 21 pounds for the two, that's it.
So that's 50 kilo worth of fuel for about 23 euro.
Yes.
For 50 kilos, whereas down here a 40 kilo bag is 32 euro. That's extraordinary, the difference in price.
It's ridiculous. Now, look, I do normally buy my coal in bulk. I get 6 bags or 5 bags for X amount, usually. Whereas this way, it's a lot easier, you know, if I'm coming up and down weekly, you know.
That's not smuggling, is it?
No, it's not smuggling. No, it's not.
Well, you stop by a checkpoint, they're not going to put the cuffs on you.
No. All I'm doing really is bringing my own stuff down, really, you know. So it's 2 bags every second week or something is what I use, you know?
Yeah.
So for my end, really, 2 bags. Like, I don't think it's smuggling. I think you're just cost-effective, really, you know?
No, it wouldn't be. If you had a bootload of booze now or fags or something, say a different thing. But that's okay. We can have a bit of a laugh about that. But it's actually very, very serious that on two sides of the border you can have that big chasm of a difference in price.
Yeah. Now again, look, you saw Simon Harris's feedback there when you were interviewing him, and look, it's ridiculous. The cost of living and what they're doing with the foreign people coming into the country. Now, again, I do agree with the war and stuff like that, but again, you look after your own first, you know? So that's a primary thing that they should be doing, which they're not, you know?
All right, fair play. Well said. Thank you for that. Much obliged, Shane. Oh, my God, I won't be the better from that. It's just like we just seem to be gouged left, right and centre. Keep them coming. Text 0868104106. Morning, Neil. Is it any wonder Bus Éireann are finding it hard to get drivers? On Wednesday night, a driver on the 214 refused 2 women outside the Savoy because they refused to pay the fare. Both had a lot of drink on them. One got aggressive after the driver got them taken off the bus and ended up attacking the driver with a broken bottle. I've been told the same driver had a heart attack last year, so he'd have done without any of this. I've sent you a video of the incident. The guards were quick to react. Don't give out my details as I lose my job. You did send me a video attached to that, and it's very difficult to work out in the video what went on or what is going on. But you're saying, and I imagine you are saying, that you witnessed this up to and including attacking the driver with a broken bottle. I just don't know. I really and truly don't. Myself and my sister were having dinner around 8:30 Thursday night, Oliver Plunkett Street. An older gentleman, probably in his 70s, ran past the bar bleeding from the face with his shopping bag. That's worth repeating. An older gentleman, probably in his 70s, ran past the bar bleeding from the face with his shopping bags. He looked so distressed and looked like he was attacked and running away from someone. A man in the table next to us got up quickly to see if he was okay, but he was gone by the time that gentleman went outside. No one came to his aid, but the staff, the restaurant, did contact the guards. I was wondering if any of the listeners had seen anything or perhaps know if the gentleman is okay. I just found it very sad to see this in Cork, as I'm only back visiting for a spell. Don't give up my details, but I was alarmed and very upset by the incident. Anybody witness any of that? Obviously there must have been some altercation. Like, you could think if he had bags, somebody was trying to rob him. Now, you might also feel that maybe he had fallen down. I don't know, but perhaps somebody might be enlightened us on that one. On text 0868104106. I watched Micheál Martin's apology on the BBC. He blamed society for the scandal of... I think that may have had more to do with institutions where our young people were put in, reform schools, industrial schools. He blamed society, but not a word about the church and the state's involvement. Oh, you can be absolutely sure that the state and the church were right in the middle of all of that. And it was a well-known fact what was going on. How can planning be approved on this site at Besborough? How could anyone live there on a graveyard? There are young couples out in the countryside that can't get planning on their own family land. Who makes these crazy decisions? Keep them coming. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. And back to the phone lines we go, to WhatsApp. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
I hear this is a lovely story, right? Because earlier on we were talking about a woman who should be dead if it wasn't for the intervention of her little pet. She literally, heart had stopped. She was technically dead for a period of time in the bed. Dog starts barking, going crazy, and wakes her husband. Dog saves her life. Pick up on that.
Yeah, we have a therapy dog here called Kobe.
You're down now, let me just say at this point in time, that you are down in the Nazareth House Nursing Home Residential Care in Mallow. Right, go ahead.
That's right, yeah. We have a therapy dog here called Kobe and does great work for us here.
Okay, what's Kobe's day work like? What does he do?
He comes in with me in the morning, and then there's a girl called Helen takes over for a few hours with him, and she takes him around to all the residents. He visits everyone on the floors.
He's a Labradoodle.
He's a Labradoodle, yeah. Non-shed.
Okay, and he's what? That's very important, non-shed, incidentally, isn't it?
Yeah.
So does he just spend time with each of the residents?
Oh, he does, yeah. He has his special ones, and then there's some residents don't want him. That's fair enough. But then he goes to the residents that really, really like him.
And would Colby know the residents in the rooms that don't want to visit?
Oh, he does, yeah. He won't go in.
He's a smart dog.
Oh, he's very smart. He can go out the automatic doors here himself to the toilet. He comes back in. He can go into the, he goes into the lift sometimes, up and down the stairs.
Can he push the buttons in the lift?
No, he just, if he sees someone going into the lift and he wants to go up there, he'll go in.
He's got someone to see upstairs.
Oh, yeah, he spends a lot of time in Hammersmith. And then if he wants food, sometimes he might go down and he'll sit outside the main kitchen until they bring him out a bit of chicken.
Sounds as if he loves life and he loves his job.
Oh, he does. He's a great life.
And
in fairness,
would Colby be capable of doing all of the work without any adult supervision? I would suggest he would.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Yeah. He's not on a lead. He doesn't be on a lead here. He wanders around, yeah. To be fair.
Just let him get on with the job. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. He pops in, pops out to everyone.
And everybody loves him. They love him.
Yeah, most people do, yeah.
Here, I know there'll always be some who just aren't into dogs and what have you. But where does he go then when his shift ends?
He comes home with me, Neil. I take him home with me.
Yeah.
And he chills out then for a while. And then a lot of time we go to the beach below in Banna. And he loves that. He really does.
Well, there's no beaches in Mallow. Where do you go?
We go to Banna in Kerry.
Oh, Banna. Oh, I see. Do you say Banna?
Banna.
That's interesting. So, a bit different pronunciations for different people. You know, do you celebrate his birthdays, or does he get a Christmas gift, or does he get him a Valentine's card, anything like that?
Oh, he does. There's a big special day for him now next week, the 4th of March. They're having a special day for Kobe, a coffee morning, because... He actually came in here on the 4th of March. So that's what they're doing. They're having a big day for Kobe.
For his fifth birthday?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to be getting him checked up from time to time, particularly with regards to issues like diabetes. They're probably feeding him loads and loads and loads of chocolates and sweets, are they?
Well, he doesn't get chocolates now, to be fair. They're
But you might know about it. Like, they could be feeding him on the sly.
Well, he's well checked out, Neil, because he goes to the vets regularly, and they're very, very good to him here. Kobe's the king. It's no problem. If Kobe needs the vet, that's no problem, and you just take him.
Oh, it's great. So, it's great, isn't it? It's great therapy for people, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and he goes to the groomers there regularly. He's well looked after here.
I love it. I love it. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. So he goes down to the groomers there in Churchtown, down to Shane Roach, and they're very good with him. So
he comes back then looking great.
Yeah, yeah. And then he goes to Beecher Street and Mallow to the vets, and they're very good with him there as well.
Oh, he's a bit of a star, this Colby, the Labradoodle. Okay. Well, listen, long may it continue. He's making a very big difference to people's lives, and it's a lovely thing.
Yeah, it's great.
We're recently talking about things that I'm going to get a voice note in a minute now, actually. Hold on a second. I'll just get your thoughts on it. This is a voice note that's in on dogs. This is more to do with Marymount.
Hi. I just said I'd like to let you know, in Marymount, in Cork, they let the pets into the people that are in the hospital. I had a loved one in now last year, and his dog was left in for a couple of evenings. And it really is nice. But Marymount is some legend in the hospital. It's great.
Oh, well said. Isn't that a lovely thing, Anne, that people might be in hospice care, you know.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Because one night here, a resident had a little fall, and Kobe stays now and again. And he went out onto the floor, and he went up and down the hall, and the carer said to him, "What's wrong with you?" And he went up and down the hall, and he stood outside the door. So the carer went down anyway, and poor Catherine was on the ground. But he wouldn't have known unless Kobe guided him to it.
And Kobe wouldn't have gone in at all. He just instinctively knew there was something wrong in the room.
That's insane. Yeah, it was amazing, though.
Absolutely. Fairness. More of that, please. More of that. Have a great weekend and say hi to Kobe for all of us, will you, Anne?
I will, of course, Neil.
All the best.
Bye.
Take care. That was a lovely call earlier on this morning where somebody was mentioning, I can't remember which caller it was, saying, you know, that in cases of where people are in hospital or unfortunately, sadly, near end of life, that, you know, if a dog was part of their lives and like a member of the family, what would be so wrong with the dog visiting or staying? For fear that, you know, and it's as important for the person as it is for the dog. But when you look at it from the dog's perspective, all of a sudden you have somebody in your life for a long, long time, entire dog life, if you like, and one day they're gone and you never see them again. So you're thinking about not just the dog, but also the person who perhaps won't make a recovery and would love to see their family pet or their sit on side of the bed or up in the bed. I just wondered if that would be possible, because it seems like a great idea to me. Anyway, keep it coming. Text 0868 104 106 after the break.
Get on to Prendeville now.
0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Okay, a voice note there with regards to my conversation with Sheila and her small little doggy who really did save their life. Keep those voice notes coming. Here's another one.
Hey Neil, what a cliffhanger with that lady. What happened? The dog was barking, but she was there in the bed and she stopped breathing. But like, we never finished. Did the husband ring an ambulance? Did he do CPR on her? Like, how did she come back to life? Like, that's like, I just feel like that story ended at a really like cliffhanger moment. Like, obviously we know she's fine, but like, what happened next? Like, you know, the husband woke, but that is it. Kind of left us at that then. Lovely story, and it's lovely that she loves the dog so much and everything, but I'd have loved the ending.
You must have been going into a tunnel or something. The whole story was told. I don't know if you didn't hear the whole story. Her dog, whose name escapes me now, I haven't got it on the screen anymore, but he got very frantic in the middle of the night and was trying to wake Sheila's husband, and eventually did, because Sheila, her heart had stopped and her lungs had filled up. She ended up in a coma. So her husband did call 999-112, got onto the proper services, as in the ambulance. So they were called, rapid response was called as well. But while that was happening on the phone, they instructed over the phone her husband how to perform CPR. And he was trying that and doing that and everything. And then, of course, the rapid responders called and they struggled to sort her out. Ultimately, she spent a long time in a coma in a high dependency ward. But thankfully, obviously, because I was talking to her, she's flying now. But she had a very tough time of it. So, yeah, I hope that explains the rest of it. But I discussed all of that at the time with Sheila, but I'm happy to recap on it for you. So there you have it now. You're up to date. And cliffhanger event has been averted. Back to the phone lines. Mary, good morning. Can you hear me all right, Mary?
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
Okay, so we're back again to the proposal in this crazy world we live on to allow pets and all sorts of animals on buses and trains and what have you. So this include dogs now of all shapes and sizes.
Yes, I just want to say, Neil, that personally, I have an allergy to cats and I'm an asthmatic. So what would happen to me was I would have an immediate attack if there was a cat on the bus. Now, I'm not a respiratory consultant or anything, but now I know I would always have my meds with me. But you take a kid or, you know, a school kid maybe that may not have left his meds someplace, like, you're in trouble then.
What could potentially happen to you, say, for instance?
What would happen to me? I would go into terrible breathing difficulties. And sometimes, like the other day, I was on the motorway, and I don't know what set me off. Now, I was in a car, mind you, and I was trying to use my Ventolin on the motorway, but the next turn off wasn't coming off. You know, I had to pull in on the next turn off,
yeah,
and get my steroids out as well and use those.
Yeah, so you would be, if this were to pass, because it's not just dogs, it could be any small pets or animals, including cats. Instance, the cat would have to remain on the customer's lap or on the ground, not obstruct passengers or passageways. Same we said for dogs. If there were big dogs, they'd be on the buses or the trains, but they'd have to have on a lead, or if needed, if there were a vicious dog, a muzzle. But that would set you off, cats.
Yes, if the cat, I was close to a cat, it would set me off.
So that's the end of using public transport for you if this were to pass, right?
It would be, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it would be. And look, I'm not a respiratory consultant now, but I have gone into a house where there's a cat, but I had to get out straight away out of the home, you know.
I understand. Okay, all right. Well, you know, this is what's being proposed. I'm not saying that it will happen, but they're proposing that it will happen to allow pets on public transport. Appreciate that. Thank you so much, Mary. Look after yourself. It also would add to the problem of, say, for instance, two dogs kicking off on a bus or whatever, or dogs getting on, or loads of dogs getting on in the middle of winter or whenever, because it rains a lot here, and stinking up the buses. And then you have the bus drivers who now have to be someone not just looking after human passengers, but four-legged passengers as well. What if the dog pooed on the bus? What if there was a scrap between two different dogs? What if a dog snatched a biscuit from a child, for instance, or whatever the case may be? Anyway, keep them coming. Text 0868104106. Is Hazel from Street Angels is on too? Is that right? Hazel, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
How are you? I hear you're not great. You're a bit battered and bruised, eh?
I am. I'm in the wars.
What happened?
I was doing security in the Virgin Media yesterday for the Christians and the press. And I saw
explain that to me now. What were you doing exactly?
Well, I was doing security and watching the crowds, basically. Some of them had smoke bombs.
Was this at a match or something? Virgin Media Bar? You work. Okay, well, you're not doing a wonderful work as Street Angels. You work in crowd control. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And anyway, this little lad, I just called to have a word with because I thought he was up to something. And I started making my way over to him and he started running. So I pulled the barrier away and there was a small step and a big step, and I fall over the small step, down onto my right hand, hit my left hand off of the barrier, and I was so embarrassed, I jumped right up, and next thing, the pain kicked in, the young lad got away, and I just went to the medics, and I ended up in Grunebraher. I have a broken wrist on the right hand. I can't even lift a cup of tea. And I asked them, my left hand was sore, and I asked them to look at it, but they, for one reason or another, they didn't. So coming down, my daughter had to come up, and she brought me back, and I ended up in Mallow Hospital in the injury unit, and I have a broken above the two fingers are strapped, and the bone above it on the hand is broken.
Oh my God! What was your man? Why had you your man spotted? What was he trying to do?
I think they hide the smoke bombs, you see, and there's so many you can't research them, but some gets away.
Okay,
you know?
So this was a Pres Christians rugby match at Virgin yeah. Media Park
yeah.
Yesterday. Did they actually manage to throw any of those smoke bombs or the flares?
Yeah, a few went up, but they weren't flares, there's the smoke bombs.
Just smoke bombs. And are they, yeah. like, they're clearly
oh, they're
not...
horrible, yeah. red, black, everything.
Yeah.
You know, if you inhale them, they're... You know, but look, my problem is now for the next few weeks I can't drive.
Okay.
And I'm worried about my main job, the street angels. I only do the security now and again to fund our street angels. But
you work to fund the volunteer group that you've put together.
That's yeah. yeah.
Oh my God. That's just so kind.
And I'm just getting ready to go out to my own doctor there now. I have a taxi booked.
Do you need help? Do you need help then? Because
I need somebody to do the runs, pick the van up with all the stuff, bring it to the hub, bring it me back with it every Monday night for the next few weeks.
So Monday night is the Street Angels night, right. And you're in the new City Council funded hub now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you don't want to let people down. You want Monday nights to continue, but...
Oh, I do, because there's so many that depends on it, and it's just breaking my heart. That's all I'm worried about.
Your fingers are broken, your wrist is broken, you can't drive, and you need somebody to give of their time... To drive the van to and from.
Yeah, there's open driving once they have a full license and they're over 25. There's open driving insurance on my van.
Okay, to drive you and the food that's much needed yeah. for the Monday night one to the city centre to feed the homeless.
Yeah.
Okay. So somebody that would generously give up their time a few hours on a Monday night to do the driving.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if we can sort that for you between now and midday. If anybody thinks they could be in a position to help on a Monday night, text 0868 104 106. It's very important that you don't overexert yourself now and let those breaks heal properly.
I know.
But at the same time,
and thank you. Yeah. You've been so good to me. Thanks very much, Neil.
Okay. Hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I'll come back in a second. Just hold on there. See if we can sort this one out. While that's happening, actually, can I give out the third and final piece of audio, please? Got a €1,500 voucher to give away this morning. We already have four qualifiers. A fifth and final person will go into the draw. A €1,500 voucher for Living Dreams. They're down in Little Island Commercial Park. Kieran and Louise Barry, 35 years experience in furniture. They know their stuff. Bedding, sofas, dining room, mattresses, beds, everything and anything you need for any room in the house. You can also check them out on Instagram and social media platforms. So I've already given you the film. These are all sleep related. I've already given you the film. I've given you the song. So the third one then is an actor or an actress. It's sleep related because whomever this person is, they slept with their leading partner in one particular film or other. So that's how it's sleep related. So this is the third piece of audio. You need to identify this actor or actress. In this case, I believe it's an actress.
When we started dating, Tinder hadn't been really out yet. And he was like, so babe, you know, do me a favor and look at this app. And I was like, no problem. I download Tinder. I'm on this thing going, what is this? Like swiping things left and right. I was like, this is amazing.
So he put you on a dating website?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you just said. Okay, well, there you go. That's all three now. So you need to identify all three. One is a film, one's a song, and the other, in this case, is an actress, and they're all sleep-related. Pick up the phone, 0818-104-106. You'll be our fifth and final qualifier, and then a 1,500 voucher will be drawn in about 10 minutes' time. Just let me finish on this topic. Ian Duggan. Ian, good morning.
How are we doing? Good morning, Will.
Are you in a position to help Hazel from Street Angels?
Yeah, I'll drive that van for a while.
Are you free on Monday nights to do that?
I am indeed, yeah.
Okay. Full license and all that kind of palaver?
Oh, I have, yes. Full truck license, yeah.
That's very kind of you. Why would you want to help like that? It's very generous of you to give her your time.
Because that lady, she's going out to work to fund this and now she can't. So, I mean, she's doing her part and... You know, we all have to help each other.
She's doing Trojan work, and everything she earns goes back into Street Angels for buying food and clothing and perishables and clothing, as to say, shoes, socks, everything like that. So that's fantastic, Ian. Thank you so much. Hazel?
Yes?
I have to say, we got loads of offers from people wishing to help and do this, but Ian Duggan is on board. He's going to do the driving for you on Monday nights.
Oh, brilliant. Would you give him my number?
He's here with me now. You can talk to him yourself.
Hi, Ian. Thank you.
How are we doing, Hazel?
Well, I'm in a lot of pain, but I'm alive. I'm thinking of all the others because there's so many that rely on me.
And
that'll break my heart if I have to cancel my run.
Well, that won't happen because Ian Duggan is going to jump in there and help you out and do the driving Monday nights he's putting aside for you. All right.
Ian, I have to get the van loaded and I have to fill flasks and everything during the day.
I can help with that as well.
Okay. What a lovely man. A lovely man. All right. Listen, Ian, thank you for your generosity and your kindness. And Hazel, I will make sure that numbers are swapped and all that gets sorted. But you need to look after yourself and make sure that you heal 100%. Thank you to everybody who reached out that wanted to do this. But Ian Duggan is the man for the job. And that's sorted. Text 0868 104 106. Another bunch of shout outs for Free Food Friday. Your chance to win. And this will feed 15 of you. There's a lot of food involved in this. Courtesy of Grandin's Mason Zambrero in Sallybrook. We're talking about the most delicious quiche. It's really gorgeous. And then all sorts of different rolls and wraps and sandwiches with lots of different fillings. Then there's lots of pastries from the For Food's Sake delicatessen. And this is all courtesy of Grandin's Mace and Zambrero in Sallybrook. Check it out. The food is delicious. Had some last week. You'll love it. So 15 will be fed. We say good morning to everybody. Barry's coaches in the Glen, always listening. Morning to Thomas, Joyce, Colum, Wayne, Kira, and all of the gang who'd love some feeding. House of Hare in Kinsale, they'd share it with all of the customers. Good morning, Sandra and Arlene. Damien Long, personal trainer in Glanmire. Jessica and all of the staff in Rathbarry and Glenview Studs in Stud and Castle. I might share it with the horses, you'd never know. Boiler Angels in Glasheen for everybody at Joe's Edge Hair Salon in Blarney. Vincent's in Mayfield. Karen needs this food, needs it now. Cereo Homes in Douglas. Elegance Florists on the Cross Douglas Road. Oak Ward in Farnley Community Nursing Home. St. Stephen's Glanmire Catering Department. And a big good morning and happy weekend to everybody at Lismore Heritage Centre. Morning, Eilish, and all of the staff down East along. I'll try and get another couple of shout-outs in between now and midday if possible. But just before midday, we'll pick a winner for that. And also, we'll do a draw live on air to get our winner for a €1,500 voucher for Living Dreams in Little Island. We'll pick the fifth and final qualifier during the break and sort it out afterwards.
Get on to Prendeville.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
All right. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. Well, if we don't get to today, we shall pick up in the morning. But a big shout out to and a massive break a leg to the cast of Oliver the Musical. They have their first performances in Angela's College, and the performances are tonight and tomorrow night. It's well worth it. Apparently, they put on a they'll put on a great show. Great talent. There are still some tickets available at gr8events.ie. It's interesting, actually, because, you know, we're talking about Oliver the Musical. If I'd known that earlier, I'd have said to Simon Harris, please, sir, can we have some more? There's a lot of texts on that, actually, my conversation with Simon Harris, which I'll come back to on Monday at this stage. But one quick one. Who's controlling the supermarkets with the rising price of food every week? Give me examples, I said. Well, a price of tea bags, for example, going up 25 cent for the last 4 weeks. And more importantly, the supermarkets were never affected by COVID. They actually made more than ever during COVID. Greed of the highest order. Who's controlling anything in this country, whether it's a supermarket or an energy provider or anything like that? It could be who's controlling insurance companies. Where do you want to start and where do you want to end? Anyway, keep them coming. Text 0868104106 now. Our fifth and final finalist for our Living Dreams giveaway. So we had three pieces of audio for you, right? And the three pieces of audio were all very straightforward. Not a bother in the wide earthly world. The film,
I Can't Live Without You, and I Won't Let You Live Without Me. This is our last chance.
All right, Sleeping with the Enemy. You get it now, don't you? Sleeping with the Enemy. Obviously, Annie Lennox and Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics. Sweet Dreams. So we're sorted there. And the third one then, all sleep related.
When we started dating, Tinder hadn't been really out yet. And he was like, so babe, you know, do me a favor and look at this app. And I was like, no problem. I download Tinder. I'm on this thing going, what is this?
I know. Mila Kunis fell in love with Ashton Kutcher on the set of That 70s Show. So all song related. Caller 9, our fifth and final qualifier, happened to be Ciara O'Leary in Douglas. All right, so we got that done during the ad break, which means that we ended up then with five finalists. The draw has been done. So we had Natalie Coleman on Monday. We had Yvonne O'Brien on Tuesday. We had Teresa Daly on Wednesday. Claire Collin on Thursday. And Ciara O'Leary on Friday. This clearly is a 100% female listenership, is it? You have all women. Maybe they've just got fastest on the phones. But anyway, who cares? Everybody's in with a chance of winning. Just pick up the phone for any competition. So with those five then, one will get for themselves a 1,500 euro voucher for Living Dreams. So the draw was done off air, right? So you did it during the ad break, yeah?
We did indeed.
All right.
And we may have someone on line one for you.
I think we should have somebody by the name of Yvonne O'Brien in Barings. Yvonne!
Good morning, how are you?
I'm well. So you got into the final on Tuesday, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so we did the draw during the advertising break, and I have a 1,500 euro voucher for you.
Woohoo! I have two boys that will be very happy with beds.
Why is that? Are you getting bunk beds or something?
I've two boys that are turning into teenagers and their beds need to be upgraded, seriously.
So their legs are too long for them, are they?
They are, exactly, yeah. They're turning into their fathers. They're six nearly, but they'll be 6 foot, I said.
All right, well, we've saved the day, or at least I have
to
say
so
that Living Dreams have saved the day. But you'll have some change out of those beds, I'd say. What about something else?
Oh, God, I'll have to have a look around the showroom and see what else they have. Don't worry, I'll spend it all.
I'll tell you what, first thing you can do is just check them out on Instagram because they got great videos and they got great inserts and stuff there. And then get yourself down there and have a good browse. You got 1,500 euro to spend, but your sons will be delighted. They'll love you all the more.
Thank you so much, Neil and Cole. That's great.
You're more than welcome. Enjoy it. Have a great weekend. And thanks for listening, Yvonne O'Brien and Barings. Take care. Thank you also to everybody. Take care, everybody at Living Dreams. And wish them well. Thank you for that. A 1,500 euro voucher. Text 0868104106. Free Food Friday next.
Get on to Prenderville.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868104106.
The Neil Prenderville Show on Red FM.
It was my plan this morning to recap on all of the wonderful trades and companies that helped during Cork's Rebel Rebuild. I'm out of time and I will do that Monday, but I'm impressed again, to say the least, with everybody who's been reaching out wanting to drive the van for Hazel. There's like page text after text after text and people are saying they'd be privileged, they'd love to help, they'll do it. Monday night's not a problem, but that's sorted. Well done to Ian Duggan. Just a few voice notes before I leave you for the day that's in it now. Amongst them, of course, was my conversation, which covered a lot of ground with Simon Harris. So there's a voice note on that.
Is he dreaming? What about the people that are earning 24 and 27,000 a year? Where's he going with his 35 to 40,000? And why are there so many people in energy crisis if he's after helping? Damn sure he isn't in energy crisis. Get him off the air. He makes me sick with his lies.
Well, you don't hold back, and rightly so. Then we have a topic earlier in the week to do with the tricolour and flags. This is Noreen.
Just past Shandon Street there now. I'm actually in the car. Two Palestinian flags hanging up over a big, huge apartment block right in the middle of Shandon Street at the end before you come to Narcay Bridge. I think it's a disgrace. I think it's the European Union is ruling us. And if they're coming into Ireland, why don't they obey the Irish rules? If we go to a foreign country, we have to obey their rules. So, like, are we trying to forget that we're Irish? That what the government wants to do to us?
Thanks, Noreen. I think those flags could be well flown from a private building by Irish people in support of Palestine. The issue with the tricolour being flown is on public property. Not in a private building. You can do whatever you want within a private building, on it or inside it, including your own home. But poles are completely different. Cork City Council won't allow it under the Litter Act. And then with some lovely chats then all week long about different Cork words. One in particular.
Neil, when that guy was on there talking about plumage, the first thing that came to my head was plumas. it just reminded me of my nana, God rest her soul. She'd always say things like that, you know. If there was someone annoying me now or something, and I was saying, Jesus, they're wrecking my head, like they're saying this to my nan, say, air, go along with them, just plumas them. Just plumas them, go along with them to keep them happy, only just plumas them. so, do you know, when you just want someone really to shut up, they're wrecking your head, just go along with them, plumas them, like, keep them happy.
Well said. Ciara Evans is here for midday. She'll be chatting with Kingfisher on the show. Tesco voucher, jewellery vouchers and tickets for Kings of Leon. But our last bit of business this morning is Free Food Friday. Where are we off to? I'm absolutely daft with excitement. We're off to the Cork Mallow Road to Daff Trucks. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
You're the man with all the big trucks.
Sure, we try to do our best for people.
The big Arctics.
The lads have me wrecked here all morning by trying to text in looking for free food.
Oh, there's more to it. Apparently it says here you've been starving and texting for years.
we're doing it for years. We've eventually got on this morning.
That's all right. It says you're a bunch of pure Norries with great Cork accents. Is that right?
That's all the way by Blackpool Man right here.
All right. Well, good to hear. Blackpool Man all the way. So who have you got there with you? There's Pat and Ross and Mark and Dennis and Vijek. And how many of you? 15 at least?
Yeah, and there's lads in the garage then as well.
But I wouldn't say Vijek isn't a Norrie though. Is he the only non-Norrie, is he?
We gave him a new Norrie accent.
All right. Well, give us a big weekend cheer then and I'll get the Red Patrollers loaded up with the grub for you.
No worries.
Hooray! For God's sake, that's like a mini minor cheer. Give me a big daft truck cheer, will you? That's not what I'm looking for. Have a great weekend, lads. It's on the way, Brian.
Thanks so much, mate.
Thanks for listening, pal. Look after yourself. That's it. I love you and leave you. Have yourselves a great weekend. I'll see you Monday.